Still to come, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program with his weekly visit and a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe annual passes. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Do we need to save a marriage? Do we need to jump in and help a coworker here? What's going on?
Let's find out. Let's find out because Lightning, who was our producer for a long time, worked on the Kevin and Bean Show for a long time. Lightning,
hey,
welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning. I'm in Vegas, so I apologize. I'm a little rough. Yeah.
Oh, not a problem. What are you doing in Las Vegas, Light?
And with who?
It's the SEMA convention, so the world's largest automotive convention for the cars and the parts.
I love SEMA.
SEMA. This is completely different. Are you there to see how much bigger rims can get?
I think they've topped out. I think that 26 inches is kind of like the biggest you can go, because then the tires are just like rubber bands. They made 30s, but no one's rocking 30s.
I'll bet you have a car with 30s on it.
I don't. I've upgraded. I'm at 24s right now. So when you see the truck in the parking lot coming Monday, it'll be rocking 24s.
Awesome about Lightning, two things about Lightning that are awesome. One is he refuses to drive a truck if it can fit into a standard parking garage. If it's small enough that it can drive into a parking garage, he didn't want to have any part of it. He only drives things that he has to park on the street. That's A.
Well, what's crazy is, and if I valet it, it's like they can't put it in the garage. So it's like Ferrari, Bentley, giant monster truck. It makes no sense. It cracks me up.
And B, it's a miracle that the boy is still married. Is it true that you recently forgot your wedding anniversary?
Yes.
How many years was it, Light?
And here's the crazy part. Dave just told me, I'm like, how did you guys find out about it? He goes, I think you were drunk and you told Omar at the last guy's night out. I said, I did what?
You told him that you forgot your anniversary. Now, here's what people need to know about Lightning. He is go big or go home guy.
Right.
So he will take you to the top of a hotel with a helicopter and have you met there. I mean, it's insanity, some of the stuff he does. So when he forgets.
Yeah. There's a real hole in that young lady's life if there's no party being thrown or there's no camel ride happening or trip to the moon.
Camel ride.
Or whatever it is you set up.
Or a camel ride to the moon.
Lightning, how many years? What anniversary was this?
It was a 15-year anniversary.
Ooh, 15.
Yeah, kind of significant.
That's a little bit worse than 13 or 16. Okay, so how did you find out that you had forgotten?
I got a call that says, hey, we're going to meet my mom over at this Japanese steakhouse. And I said, oh, cool, sounds like fun. I'll see you at 7 o'clock. So it was Wednesday night. And I drove down and walk in like it was no big deal. Sit down at the teflon table, and my kids are looking at me kind of strange. And I said, "Oh, cool. You guys already ordered?" No, we just sat down.
Your kids always look at you kind of strange, though, right?
Well, that is true.
Okay.
My kids are way cooler than I am. And my two little boys and one my younger one who is 9, and he looks at me and says, "Did you forget something?" And I said, "No, I got what was I bringing was." Was I supposed to bring something to dinner? He goes, Dad. I said, yes. Do you know what today is? No, it's, what's the date? He goes, look at your phone. And I go, what are you guys talking about? And I pick up my phone. Yep, sure enough, October 10. Wah, wah, wah,
wah.
I said, and I'm telling you guys, God's honest truth, my heart sunk. I'm sitting next to my wife, who I love to death.
Why are your kids, publicly going, hey, Dad, did you forget something?
They always do that. Listen, the kids are like you guys. They love to publicly shame people. So,
sure. Okay. They couldn't have played it cool and, pulled you aside
right?
And said, hey, Dad, in case
heads
you forgot.
Up.
Yeah. All right,
no,
so what's,
no.
what's going on your wife's face at this point? What's her reaction?
It's just one of those... It's just sad, and she's not crying or anything like that, but it's just sheer disappointment. It's just, I'm so dreadfully disappointed in you. It's such a simple thing to remember.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a card. I didn't have flowers. I had nothing.
Did you say happy anniversary?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, I said, can I buy you a drink? I mean, there's nothing.
Wow. Because you were starting over.
There's nothing I could do. I mean, I could, in that split second, I thought, can I go to CVS and buy a card? How do I call and get a limo to go to the beach? Like, what do I? There's nothing I can do. I'm sitting there. I'm just a tool. There's no way to get out of it.
Look, here's what you got to do. And by the way, we thought it would be fun to talk.
Bean's going to give advice now on this.
I am going to give advice. Here's what we're going to do. And we thought it would be fun to talk to Lightning because we know that he's not the only one who's had this where you've forgotten a significant anniversary or a birthday or you're supposed to go on a trip or whatever it is you have forgotten that you had planned with a family member or significant other. We want to hear the fallout from that. We want to hear how you discovered it and what you had to do to make it up to that person. If you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your tales of woe. Here's the way I handle it, Light, is that at my house, every day is Valentine's Day, as you know. Every day is Donna's birthday. Every day is our anniversary. So when that actual day comes about, if I don't say anything or do anything, it doesn't matter because every day is like that.
You lying sack.
Yeah, that's
how it works at my house.
That's funny and all, Bean, but...
Let's go to Donna on line 8.
Oh, you know what? Not available. Sorry.
Asshole.
There she is.
Hey, how dare you? Speaking of making it up, so you survived that humiliating meal and probably couldn't even taste your food. What did you – like what was the plan afterwards? Is it too late to make something like that up if it's not on the day?
Way too late. I tried, and I tried for the next couple of days. Hey, let's go to Vegas. Let's plan a family vacation. I tried. There's no way to get out of it. It's just, you know, better luck next year.
Sometimes you just suck ass, and then it just blows, and you can't get.
That's what happens.
Can't get around.
So, the good news is you're not going to have to worry about your 20th wedding anniversary, so it doesn't matter whether you were
16th
remembered or not.
Even 16th.
Hey, now.
All right, Light. Have fun in Las Vegas, man. Buy some rims. Thanks for coming on.
All right, you guys rule.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you later. 1-800-520-1067. What was the event, birthday, anniversary, whatever it was that you forgot? How did you find out about it? What was the fallout? What did you have to do to make it up? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Taking your calls right now. I think this may be the first time we've ever done this phone topic, by the way, where you forgot your significant other or your mom or somebody's birthday or your anniversary with your spouse. How did it go down? How bad was it? What was the fallout? Did it end the relationship? What did you have to do to make it up? Lots of angles here at 1-800-520-1067. Got some great calls on the line. Let's go to line 7, go out to Ontario and talk to Andrew. If you're going to forget your wife's birthday, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
How much worse is it if it's her 30th?
30 is a big deal for
ladies.
That's
a big one for women, right?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Andrew, what's going on, buddy? And is it your wife's fault for not reminding you every single day leading up to her 30th birthday that it was coming?
Well, definitely that, and she definitely reminds me every 10 days before her birthday every year. But basically, my sister had got rid of her tenants in Catalina, so we're going out there to clean the house, mop, like sweep, all that stuff. My sister's like, hey, can you guys help us this weekend? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. And my wife's kind of looking at me, and I'm like, yeah, you know, let's help her out. She's in need. So we get on the boat, on the ferry, and my sister's like, man, I can't believe, you guys, I appreciate you guys came out and helped me on Gabby's birthday. And I'm like, looking at her, and I'm like.
And you said.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Like, we're going to go to the bar on Catalina and party for your birthday.
Is there any way she bought that?
She looked at me, she was like, yeah, nice try.
Have you asked her if she thought maybe this whole thing was an elaborate setup, like you had something amazing that was going to happen on Catalina? There was no cleaning involved?
Well, no, because even leading up to that, my sister was like, yeah, you know, me and you will go and we'll mop, we'll clean, we'll get all the crap out, and then Gabby can sit on the beach with the kids and just watch them. And then after that, you know, we'll probably go somewhere for her birthday. And I'm like, yeah, the bar, the one that we planned to.
Sure.
Oh, man.
How's, you know, like I planned all along.
Have any of your friends told you? How's Gabby doing?
Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Brian, Culver City. I love this call, too. Line 2, please. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling the Kevin Beach Show. What happened?
Okay, so I talked to my mom on her birthday and don't even realize it. Talk to her about life, talk to her about travels, and hang up the phone call, and I don't mention it. Mm. 2 weeks later, I finish with a rock and roll show, and my dad comes up to me and says, Brian, did you forget something a couple weeks ago? And I'm like, I don't know what. Like, he's like, dude, you forgot your mother's birthday.
You said, I was like, rocking too hard to remember that.
That's right,
oh,
man.
My God, and all the joy of the show immediately just left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, she harked your high. What a bitch.
What a bitch, right? By the way, all she did was give you life. I mean, it's not like she could expect you to remember what day it was.
I know. I mean, the shock and horror that I felt in this moment that my dad had to deliver.
Right.
Yeah.
That's okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Ismail. He's on line 6 in Huntington Park. You think it's Ismail and not Ishmael? What do you guys think? Beer Mug's putting up here.
I would guess it's Ishmael. Is that right?
Hello. Hello, caller.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. What's your first name?
It's Ismail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ismail. All right. Let's hear it. What happened?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, my mom forgot my birthday.
Oh.
How does that count?
That hurts. As a kid, that hurts. Because she doesn't love you, right?
No, she
clearly.
Loves me.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, I think she doesn't love you is what we're learning.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, what was her explanation for how she could forget her own son's birthday?
Well, I can't remember the details for her reasoning, but I just remember my own experience. So, like, I woke up and I was expecting a hug, a birthday cake, or something, or, you know, a breakfast.
From the second you woke up, you were anticipating something great.
Yeah.
Yeah, as she normally does, but nothing happened. Throughout the day, nothing happened. Didn't get acknowledged. And I was thinking, maybe they're going to do something later for me as a surprise.
Yeah.
But nothing happened. And then towards the end of the night, I was so, like, upset. Oh. I was bratty. And my mom she asked me, she said, why are you acting like this? And then I told her, well, maybe because you forgot my birthday.
Oh.
And she was like, what? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And she apologized. And she made it up to me the next day. But
and
it
you
was
said, get out. You're not my real mom.
No?
This is some real-life 16 candle stuff,
yeah,
you guys.
That's someone really
didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Dear, thank you very much for the call, Ismail. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email will put a bow on this topic. Mine was a little bit different. I came home on a Wednesday with a dozen roses and gave them to my wife. With an accusatory look on her face, she said, hey, what did you do? I told her it was our 7th wedding anniversary, and she was so surprised. She had no idea. We never made it to our 8th. It looks like she was already checked out from the marriage, says Matt.
All right, I know you wanted to quit, but I got to go to one more if you don't mind. One more.
Okay.
Because this is unbelievable. Let's go to Nick, who is calling us from South Pasadena. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Yeah, well, I was married for the first 7 years, and I forgot. I remember the first one and then, like, I think the third one, but I forgot the other ones. And I'm not saying it's the only reason.
Wait, you were married 7 years and you forgot all of the
anniversaries? Five of them.
Except for 1 and 3?
Yeah. Wow. I was smoking a lot of weed back then.
Back then, anyway, sure.
Really?
Yeah, so anyway, the day after, she said, don't forget ever again. I promised her, and we had therapy, blah, blah. So
blah, blah.
Then on
blah,
the
blah.
Eighth one.
You forgot.
Yeah. Yada, yada.
Look.
And on the eighth one, I forgot, and the next day, she filed. And then you have 30 days to answer after they give it to you.
Right.
And I was giving her flowers and everything because we were still staying in the same place. Flowers and gifts every day. And I never answered, and she took my default, and we got divorced, and that's that. And, you know,
blah, blah,
she
blah.
Got the twins, and I got visitation. And
But it's, you know, kind of it's kind of her fault for marrying you, though, right, Nick? Let's all be honest here.
Listen, I remember when you guys were doing the mornings due on KMET, KMET, and then
we
and
were
those guest spots. On with Chick Hearn on Bowling for Dollars. You guys are going to make it. I love you guys.
You're going to make it.
I hope so, Nick. Thank you. Fingers crossed.
Right. The band Cold War Kids joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so right here on KREK. And don't forget, keep listening at 9 o'clock this morning for your chance to win Coldplay at the Rose Bowl August 20th and be on the standby boarding list to see the band in Rio de Janeiro. Your second home, Kevin.
Yeah. That's
Rio.
That's my peeps.
Hey, pajamas are having a moment right now.
Yes, they are, Bean.
No, they really are. I'm seeing a lot of stories that involve people wearing pajamas in public in the news. I can't remember where it was I saw last week, but there was a college that started cracking down on students showing up in pajamas, which has been very popular for a long time. Yesterday, I saw a story of a judge in Pennsylvania who put a sign in the lobby of his courtroom saying that pajamas are not appropriate attire for district court. He says, we have a growing problem of people not dressing appropriately for court. I put it out there as a reminder of the code of conduct that should be followed with appearing in court. So he is putting down the law on that, saying no more wearing pajamas to court. Because we live in a world now, you guys, where anybody can show up at anything in pajamas.
Right, yeah. But that's before you knew about the business pajamas or the bammies.
Oh.
Business jammies.
Say what?
They look like clothes, but they're not. They're pajamas.
You're telling me
who's
I can
in?
Wear bammies to work and no one
yes.
will know I'm still in my jammies?
That's what I'm telling you.
So these are clothes that look like dresses and suits and things like that, but they're made out of pajama material.
Yes, again.
That seems somewhat genius, doesn't
it?
I mean, if they can make it look like not pajamas. Like, in other words, they don't have prints of rubber ducks on them or something like that.
Right, it's not just like a SpongeBob dress.
It looks like business clothing. How many times?
But if it's, like, comfortable and right? It's still businessy,
right.
Like that.
It's not going to have a rubber duck on it if you can wear it to work.
Why are you so bad?
Because we've explained the bit now, like, four times. They have to keep going back to establish that it doesn't look like pajamas. No, it looks like business clothes.
So these are. You would say they're business pajamas?
Yes!
They're called bammies?
Yes!
That you can wear from your home office to the boardroom, it says here.
Dear God.
All right, well, let's find out about the bammies. We have a designer of the product, Jean-Claude St. Clair, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Mr. St. Clair. How are you?
I'm already so bored with you.
I'm sorry. I apologize. We just were trying to understand what we were talking about
you're
here.
The worst people I've ever heard in my life in my ear holes.
Well, I apologize for that. We didn't mean to get off to a bad start.
Oh, my God. It is so painful to listen to all of you. Blah, 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 blah. Rubber duckies.
So let's put it in your own words then. What are the.
Okay, you go ahead and put it in my words.
Well, I'm asking you if you could just describe for our listeners what your interpretation of the business pajama is.
It is a wonderful.
I'm sorry. What?
Wait for the end.
All right.
Don't be jumping in mid-word and okay. Say, what?
Okay. All right. Go
it
ahead, sir.
It is wonderful to have a... What?
It's wonderful to have?
Yes, to have.
To have, okay.
Okay.
Omar, shut up.
Who? What?
Omar, my sister Omar, who helped me design all the clothing. It is wonderful to have a clothing that you can sleep in.
Right.
And then you get out of your bed and you go directly to your job.
Oh, okay.
So you sleep in these and then go to your job?
Pajamas. Of course you sleep in them.
So they don't wrinkle, though? They don't look like you've slept in them all night?
No, because I have invented a revolutionary fabric. They will not wrinkle.
A what? A revolutionary
fabric.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
That will not wrinkle.
Will not wrinkle.
It will not stain.
It will not stain.
It will not stain.
Stain.
Stain. Sorry.
Oh, thank God for the woman.
We need subtitles for the radio.
It will not stain.
Stain.
And it will not smell in any way bad.
It won't smell bad.
Smell bad. Why would it smell bad?
Because you can wear it for weeks and weeks and weeks on the end.
Oh, yeah. No, that's that.
And your body all out.
Odor.
Body odor.
Body odor.
Body odor, right.
Will not be carried by the fabric.
Okay, but there's no reason to wear bammies for weeks and weeks and weeks. You should still change your clothes if you're a
person. How lazy are you want to get?
Well,
if you're going to be late enough to wear your pajamas to work, why? What makes me think you want to change clothes?
Yeah.
Change what?
Clothes.
Claws?
Clothes.
Close.
What you wear.
Close.
Okay.
I see. Okay. All right.
We're working on an entire line for the lazy business person.
Okay.
We've got shoopers.
Shoopers.
Yes. They are slippers that look like shoes.
Okay.
That you can wear with the bammies.
Okay. Right. I like it.
Your bammies and then slip into your shoopers.
Shoopers. Okay. Why not?
And then we also have the dundies.
Oh. Nope, Dundee.
I don't love it.
Wait, you will.
Okay.
Dundies.
Yes.
Are a mix of undies and diapers.
Oh. Yeah.
So when you put on your bammies, before you put them on, you put on the dundies first.
Right.
So it takes away all the uncomfortable ordeal of having to use a toilet.
Right. Yeah,
but I mean, can't you just wear?
Oh wow, Mr. St. Clair. Yes. Nobody needs this. Okay.
I believe we're out of time. If I could just butt in, it's pretty impressive right now. All right. I mean, really. Right. Thank you for your time, sir. We'll let you get to it. Holy moly. I mean, really, this might be a world record.
Luckily, they come in extra large.
Dr. Drew Pinsky with his Thursday visit coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll hook you up with more tickets to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl on August 20th. You know, I'm sad that Ralph is out sick today because he brought up a great topic on yesterday's show, which is, and I know it's been, you've seen the words peak TV in the media a lot lately because we are at the point now where it is literally, even if you don't have a job and you do nothing but watch TV, it's literally impossible to watch all the good shows that are available to us. I think I heard there are over 400 original shows on the air right now.
Wow.
Over 400.
I know in my TiVo, I'm three behind on that series and I'm five behind on that series. There's a lot of them that I have like that I need to catch up.
My my DVR just weeps when I come in. It just is like it's begging for relief. There are so many shows. And you're right, Kevin. There are shows that you hear about that you find yourself taping an entire season of and never getting around to. And you just at some point you just have to give up because you can't watch them all. And don't even get me started on all the Amazon shows that are great and the Hulu shows that are great and the Netflix shows that are great. I mean, it's impossible. So we thought it might be fun to talk about and everybody have the opportunity to promote a show that they love that they feel is not getting the attention it deserves because it's just getting lost in the shuffle because there's only so much room for people to have shows anymore. And we thought a great person to get us started on this conversation is our friend Mike Schneider. He is the chief content officer of TV Guide magazine, TVInsider.com. Mike, I know you carved out some time for us. You're very busy in New York doing some meetings and stuff this week, but thanks for coming on the show. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm actually looking for some, trying to hire someone who can write obituaries for me. If you know of any good candidates, then
I am perfect for that job. Are you kidding me? Well, Michael, we've spoken about this before, and you—I mean, your job is to watch TV, and there's no way you can even see all the things you need to on a regular basis, right?
Yeah. I think the last time I was there, I said I panic every time you mentioned the amount of TV that's on, and you mentioned 400. Now, so there was 412. Scripted shows on TV last year. That doesn't even include all the reality and unscripted stuff. There's over 1,400 shows when you count everything scripted.
No,
unscripted. And there probably is even more. So
when I said the 400, that shows with scripts. So that doesn't even count like Allie watching Tiny House Hunters or whatever that show is called. Like
that's Tiny House Nation.
Exactly. Tiny House Nation. Right.
Thank you.
So how frustrating must it be? And you deal with people in the industry all the time, Mike, who are doing quality shows and they just can't get any kind of lift off because it's almost impossible. I mean, a perfect example is probably my favorite show on the air right now is Manhattan. And it's a great show, but it's on WGN, and it's been very hard for them to get the word out that they've got original programming now, and that just got canceled. I mean, that's a perfect example of an outstanding show that I think died on the vine just because it couldn't get eyeballs to it.
Yeah, perfect example. And there's a lot of great shows that luckily are surviving because it's a new age and more people are catching up on shows later on Hulu and Netflix and all that. So shows like The Americans, which we've talked about.
That was one of mine as well. The Americans I love, 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 but I don't know a lot of friends who watch it.
Yeah. But yet, luckily, it's still surviving because there are these new economic models that are keeping some of these shows alive. But you're right. I mean, there's too much TV, and it's a smaller base now because everything's so fractional. It's great. It's a great time to be a TV viewer because you've got the pick of the litter. Anything you want to watch is on now. But from a business perspective, it's really tough for these networks these days to get any eyeballs.
Yeah, and what is, I mean, what's a hit considered these days? And the reason I ask that is, like, I saw the numbers on the first night of The People versus OJ on FX were the highest, am I right about this, the highest ratings they ever had on the network, and it was still only 5 million people, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the bar has been lowered, so, you know, smaller viewership now can be considered a hit, especially if you start to count longer term. So the networks are trying to look beyond just that first night or the first couple of nights. Now they're looking at who else is watching down the road on video on demand, who's maybe watching on streaming, and even further, can they sell it to Netflix and internationally as well. international is very important now for a lot of these shows. That's where you get additional eyeballs outside of the U.S.
If I tape a show like The Blacklist and then I wait, you know, maybe even a couple of weeks to have some time on the weekend to catch up, do they get credit for that?
You know, generally it depends. If it's within the first 7 days of airing, they'll get some sort of credit, and sometimes they can sell ads based off that. But, you know, they're rethinking all of this now, and they're trying to convince rating services like Nielsen to measure things longer term, and also on other platforms like Hulu or like on NBC.com in that case.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. If people are watching it, people are watching it. It doesn't really matter on what size screen. All right, Michael, do you have a couple of other shows? You mentioned The Americans, and that's a great show, but I almost feel like that show is popular to a certain extent. I think we're looking for things that are even maybe under that rung that really, really good shows that, in your opinion, should be more popular than they are.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of shows. I think you guys are pretty savvy. You guys talk a lot about TV, so I think your listeners are a little more savvier than probably most in terms of hearing of a lot of these shows. But, you know, shows that probably still deserve a little more attention are things like your buddy Rob Delaney's show Catastrophe on Amazon, which is coming back for a second season, which is fantastic.
So great.
Gerard Carmichael's show, The Carmichael Show, which is coming back for a second season on NBC.
Now let me stop you right there, because that we love that show. Yeah. We had Gerard on, and we just fell in love with him. Weren't there only like 4 or 5 episodes the first go around on that?
Yeah. It was almost like they were experimenting to see what kind of reaction they would get. They actually got a great reaction, and it's kind of a throwback to old style Norman Lear kind of sitcom from the 70s, where they're tackling heady subjects, but it's you know, very funny, and they do it in front of a studio audience, and they're hitting some big stuff like Black Lives Matter, but doing it from a really comedic perspective. And also your buddy Dag, David Alan Greer is on it.
Lorenzo Klein.
That's a great show as well.
But that was one of those that was sort of hard to catch because they burned two at a time.
Right. It wasn't consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was on during the summer. So it was a real test case. You know, that's actually 20 years ago, 25 years ago, how NBC launched Seinfeld. You know, they kind of gave it a test run in the summer and slowly brought it out to the world.
So. And look what happened to that.
Yeah,
disaster, dog.
Whatever happened to that shit.
This is our friend Michael Schneider on the line, Chief Content Officer for TV Guide Magazine. One of the shows that started this conversation on our air this week, Mike, was I brought up that I don't know anyone who saw Angie Tribeca, including me, yet it has a phenomenal cast and a great backstory and created by Steve Carell and his wife. And I don't know if – did they botch the launch of that, or what was the plan – what was the thinking behind debuting that in a marathon over 25 hours?
I think the idea was just to try to make some noise because, again, like we were talking, there's so many shows. How do you get the word out? So it was a gimmick. The idea was let's just premiere all the shows at once now that everyone's sort of used to binging – with the idea that people obviously weren't going to sit around and watch all 25 episodes at the same time. But now they're going to roll them out every week as well. So maybe you heard about the stunt and maybe now you'll check it out down the road. But that's a fun show. That was actually on my list as well because I mean, Rashida Jones, Jerry Burns, Dion Cole, great cast, very, very Naked Gun / classic sort of Farsi kind of show, Airplane-like. So that's definitely one that's worth it.
I love the idea of that just because there's no other show like that on TV.
Right.
One of mine on the list was The 100, and I see that that's on your list as well on the CW. I'd rather have you tell people about it than me try.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe the quick log line is it's Armageddon with pretty people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much
it. CW. You know, it's basically way in the future, and because of you know, nuclear Armageddon, a bunch of survivors have been living up in space for you know 100 years, but that space station is about to be destroyed. So some of the criminals are sent back down to Earth to see if it's inhabitable and create a new world. And of course, turns out there've been people down there already, and it's just a lot of fun. And again, it's sort of what the post-apocalypse would look like with CW stars.
Yeah. It's impossible to get on the CW and not look like a model, though, right? I mean, like, in their post-apocalyptic world, everyone is hot.
Yeah. I think the CW is the model for the future.
Exactly. All right. Michael Schneider, Chief Content Officer, TV Guide Magazine. The website is TVinsider.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. We're going to continue this discussion, Mike, by inviting our listeners to call in with the show that they love that nobody they know watches, the show that they would like to give a shout out to because it's great and the rest of us should check it out. Like, we have time to do that. But our listeners can call us at 1-800-520-1067. What show would you add to Michael's list that is a must watch that most people aren't seeing? And you have a fun time in New York, man. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Like Dotto says, I love you.
Thank you, Mike. All right, this is going to be fun. Our listeners are going to drop some knowledge on us. TV shows that are not getting the acclaim they should. Great shows that you love but none of your friends are watching is the topic at 1-800-520-1067. Allie, what was your suggestion? You had one you wanted to bring to us.
I have two. Peaky Blinders, which is my favorite show, and you guys get so mad because I talk about it so much, yet you're still not watching. 1920s Gangsters in Birmingham. Cillian Murphy. You've got Tom Hardy, season two. It's on Netflix. It is the greatest show ever.
No, okay. I'm not in.
It's
on
not
that.
The greatest show ever.
It
first
is.
Of all.
It
now,
is.
But let me ask you this, because yes, it does have an appealing concept based on mm-hmm. what you just said. If I loved Boardwalk Empire,
yes, you're
for instance,
in.
Would I enjoy Peaky Blinders?
You will enjoy it so much more because it's got accents.
It's got accents.
Yes. It's, all right. And it's just so good. Trust me on this. You will love it.
All right. Peaky Blinders.
Number two is Togetherness.
Oh, Togetherness is so good.
It's the best show. It is so relatable. It's this couple, and then the wife's sister moves into the house. Amanda Peet moves in, and it's Mark Duplass. And Melanie, is it Linsky?
Yes, and yes. She's adorable
who's
and
just
heartbreaking.
Wonderful. And then yeah. His best friend winds up moving in, out-of-work actor, Steve Zissou, who's he's so phenomenal, so funny. But it's so heartwarming, and it's so charming, but it'll make you laugh out loud. It's
yeah,
so good.
That's a good tip right there. Togetherness on HBO.
Homie in Newport just tweeted one that I watched. Mm-hmm. I watched late, but was amazing. And you should go back and check it out, which is Mr. Robot.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
And I feel like not that many people that I know watch that.
And that got a lot of love. I think that won a Golden Globe, in fact, for best
so
best deserves
it.
Series.
Yeah.
Listeners writing in on Facebook. Jose says Vikings on the History Channel is an awesome show that nobody seems to be paying attention to that I love. Jesse writes in Man Seeking Woman, which is a very funny show with Jay Baruchel. We've had him on a couple of times. Let's take some calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. And let's start with AJ. He's in Sherman Oaks. He's on line one. He's got one that I've heard great things about. I haven't seen a second of.
Hey, AJ.
What's up?
Talking TV shows that are great that nobody seems to be watching.
Yeah, I got to throw some love out for Bloodline on Netflix.
Yes.
Heard great things, haven't watched one.
Yep.
Now, this is the one that stars Kyle Chandler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kyle Chandler. And if you haven't heard about Ben Mendelsohn, you got to get on this guy's boat. He's Australian, but he's one of the most amazing actors I've ever seen. He's in the new Rogue One Star
okay.
Wars movie, okay. And I think Spielberg just picked him up for Ready Player One as the villain in that, too.
All right.
Wow. He's blowing up. Okay, so Bloodline on Netflix. All right, that's a great tip, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Cameron Canoga Park. He's on line two.
All right. Cameron, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi.
Hi. So The Man in the High Castle.
That's an Amazon show, right?
It's Netflix.
Right, yeah.
Amazon?
Is it Amazon or Netflix?
I watched it on Amazon. I'm not sure if it's on Netflix.
Yeah, okay. I think it's Amazon. I think it's one of their originals.
Is that the one where Hitler's still alive?
Yeah, it's basically if the Nazis won World War II along with Japan.
Oh,
see, and, I love alternative history shows. I love them. I mean, this sounds like it's right up my alley. That's a great tip.
Is somebody drunk telling me about it? Because I like drug history, but not really.
Thank you, Cameron. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Melissa Santa Fe Springs. She's up next. She's on line three. She's going to suggest a show I have never heard of.
I haven't either. Melissa, hi.
Hey, guys. It's called Playing House, and it's on the USA Network.
Playing House.
No, Playing House. No one's heard of it because I can't convince anyone to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's adorable, and it's about two best friends, and the one best friend moves home to help the other one raise a baby. And
I am going to say that I don't think any of that happened. I'm not sure there is a USA Network, and I don't think there's a show called Playing House.
Was this on the internet first by any chance, Melissa?
No, and it's coming back for season three. It just got picked up, and it's got Keegan-Michael Key and Jessica St. Clair and Lennon Parham. Great cast. And it's really funny.
I can't believe it's coming back for season three and I've never heard about it. That's embarrassing. All right. Thank you, Melissa. Great tip. We appreciate it. Let's go to line four, please. Lindsay in L.A. She has a new show that I have heard great things about, but I haven't seen either.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you. What show?
It's called Teachers. It's on TV Land.
Teachers.
Now, TV yeah. Land is not a network that most people even think of for having new original shows. That's the rerun channel mostly, right, of classic TV.
Yes, exactly. And it's okay. Awesome. It's hilarious. It's
and
amazing.
is my girlfriend Allison Brie involved in Teachers somehow?
Yeah, she is. She is. Yeah, she. I think she produced it. I don't think. So I helped create it. Yeah.
Oh, there she is. Okay. Yeah, I got to check it out because I love me some Allison from Community and Mad Men. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Hollywood. Line five is Connor. He's got a great suggestion. We're talking about TV shows that no one seems to be watching that you love. Hey, Connor.
Hey. So I've seen this show on Comedy Central, and I've actually watched it on Hulu, but no one seems to be talking about it. I really don't want it to get canceled. It's called Review. It stars Andrew
yes.
Daly.
Yes.
The best.
Yes.
The
it's
best.
Great. We've
it's
had him hysterical. On to promote it. You are talking to a room full of fans here. We've seen that show. We love that show.
Oh, great. Yes. I just want everyone to know about it because the stuff they do on that show is just
so
I'm
funny.
Not like anything else. It's just
yeah.
Funny.
For folks who don't know, this is a guy who will accept any challenge. So somebody will write in and go, hey, what's it like to be racist? And then he'll go out and do racist things so that he can report back on whether it's a good experience or not. Or what's it like to get a divorce or to rob a bank? I mean, it's like the craziest things. And he turns down no challenges. And it is so damned funny. All right. Great tip. Thank you very much for the call. All right, let's try Samantha Thousand Oaks, please, line seven.
Okay, but then I want to go back to Rocco because Rocco has a suggestion that I thought I was the only person who had seen it. Samantha, okay. Hi there.
Hey, yes, Black Sails on Stars.
Black Sails on Stars.
Pirates, gold, Long John Silver is in it. Lots of attractive people, naked a lot.
Okay. You got me, Samantha.
Is that the winner? Are we voting for a winner?
Yes.
I wasn't expecting a pirate show to pop up, but if they're attractive naked people, I guess
Michael
it's worth
Bay.
Michael Bay.
Is the producer.
Oh, all right, then we're out.
I'm out.
Then we're out. Yeah,
sorry.
I'm sorry.
No,
that
I'm,
is
still,
planned.
In. I'm
no.
still in. It's
out.
Loud.
Out.
It's loud. It's
loud.
It's loud. It's got
loud and naked.
Hot chicks, right.
Thank you, Samantha. All right, let's go to your friend, Rocco.
All right, Rocco. Good morning.
What's up, guys? A Showtime series called Banshee.
Now, I see that advertised, but I don't know what it's about.
Oh man, it's one of the most brutal shows I've seen, hands down, my favorite. And there's plenty of sex and grotesque violence. So
yeah, it's on Showtime. It's usually on Showtime late at night, and it comes on right after a series that I used to watch called, Cinemax, I'm sorry, a show that I used to watch called Strike Back, which is
Dude,
the same.
Strike Back was one of my other favorites.
Right?
Maybe
same.
You guys
yeah.
could go to lunch or something.
You guys should live together or something.
I'm available. What? Dude, if you want an apartment, let's do it.
What is Banshee about, Kevin?
I'm going to let Rocco explain it. I haven't watched as much Banshee as Strike Back.
Kind of long story short, all you really know at the beginning is this guy's getting out of prison after 9 years. He's going to track down his girlfriend, and he's pretty relentless in doing so. Then he gets to this town and kind of assumes the identity of this sheriff that was supposed to show up and never did, and then all hell breaks loose.
Wow, he did okay. such a better job than I would have. Nice.
Well New done. Season premieres April 1st of Banshee, by the way, if people want to get on board. All right, let's do one more. This is Dave in L.A. He's on line 9. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hello.
Hey, guys. This is Dave.
No.
Nope.
Wait, is this the King of Mexico?
Is Blue Bloods on CBS.
Oh, Dave.
There's nothing like spending your Friday nights at home.
What's wrong with
hanging
you?
Hanging out with Tom Selleck, his awesome mustache, a new kid by Donnie Wahlberg, Bridget Moynihan. She's
Dave,
hot.
You're not
so
85
good.
Years old. You're not calling in to tell us about the Tom Selleck cop show.
Oh, come on. It's so good, though.
My mom
you and my
it.
You
so
and my dad are the only people yeah. watching that. And Allie's mom. That's it.
Dave Bean's
Everyone
dad and Allie's mom.
Home on Friday nights and watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I'm watching Dateline. On Friday night.
Because, you know,
like
murder.
Goddamn American.
Just murder. All right. Never call us again, Dave.
He is British comedy royalty and has been for years, and he is coming to America with a live comedy show, An Evening with Noel Fielding, happening March 29th through April 2nd at the Fonda. Tickets on sale now through Axis.com. Noel Fielding, his first appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Noel.
Hello. How are you?
How are you, sir? Welcome, man.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, we're excited as well, and I'm a little bit concerned that we've already spoiled this with you because Allie, who's kind of a crazy Uber fan, never does this, but she did leave the room to go out to grab your leg or
it was like a hump.
I don't know what was going on, but I just I want to make sure we didn't embarrass ourselves as a show by her coming out and being inappropriate with you or anything like that.
Ali came out and humped my coat, actually. Just sort of started humping my coat and, you know, the bottom of my legs. It was nice, actually.
Thank you.
Okay. So would you, she made it better then?
Yeah, she made it much better. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Noel.
I think you should do that for every guest then.
Well, if I'm feeling it.
Okay, all right. Okay.
It relaxes you.
Yeah. Well.
I was a bit uptight, and then now I feel fine.
Good.
Done. I'm going to talk to the radio stations in Britain to see if they can start employing that method.
Leg humpers.
Leg humpers.
I like
just
it.
Would like someone to rub against me or my bag or my coat, you know, just as
your
I go.
Bag.
My bag. You were rubbing against my bag, the fixtures.
That's a British slang term for something, I think.
Okay. Oh, my bag. Oh, yeah, not.
Yeah. Not right? Look, yeah, we don't know.
My satchel.
Your sack. Okay, I got it.
We don't know what you want, Rob. Don't put that on us.
You were in a frenzy. You didn't realize.
I didn't.
It's fine.
Okay.
No, what is this? What does this mean? I know you've been to America many times and you performed many times. So how is what's coming up at the Fonda your first solo performance? Please explain.
Well, it's my first solo tour, actually. I'm doing lots of places. And I'd only ever done random one-off gigs. Well, I think we played Jack Black's festival at Santa Monica.
Festival Supreme.
Yeah, which was really good fun.
Right.
As the Boosh, that was. And then we played the Bowery in New York, and then we played the Roxy in LA, which was great. That because very small gig, but at that point, we were doing... I think we were on Adult Swim at that point here. So we had a cult following. So Robin Williams came, Josh Homme came.
No kidding.
John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin. It was quite, and it's quite
anyone
small.
We've heard of?
Yeah, no one. It's just famous people.
It's crazy.
And as you know, they don't really laugh. So it's quite tricky. No, but Robin Williams was amazing. He came in like a whirlwind and just started doing impressions of our own characters, like the Crack Fox. It was amazing. Wow. So we were very excited. That was like meeting royalty for us.
And I've heard you talk about how impactful that meeting was, and apparently Robin was a huge fan of yours, but then when he saw how much you guys ad-lib on stage, I think that was a shock to him, because he just thought, oh, these guys have great writers, or these are scripts, but you guys do it live.
Yeah, I think he was quite impressed by that. And I, growing up as a kid, Morecambe and Mindy was really the first program that I thought, oh, well, how's this guy got on television? He's amazing. Yeah. What's he doing? What's happening?
And then he came to your show and he was impressed by what you do.
Yeah, so it was very, nice. We were very lucky. And also he came, he's very generous. So he came to England and on a chat show, they said, oh, do you like British comedy? And he went, oh, I like the Maddie Bush. And we were like, yes! So that was great. It was like, it was beautiful.
We have so many questions we want to ask, but here's something I've never heard you talk about, because I look at you now and you are peculiar.
Right? I mean, not me.
Look at the kind of comedy you do. Look at what you wear and how you do your hair, and you're silly and you're just a freak show. I mean, and I mean that with all sincere respect.
With all due respect. Yes. You're a freak show.
Those things can be great.
Yeah. Yes, they are great. And they are great. And
I think maybe to untrained American eyes, I look like a freak show. Yeah.
You're comfortable in your skin, it seems like, and you know who you are, and I love it, and I am a fan. But here's my question. What's that like to be 4 or to be 10 or to be 16? I mean, is that a difficult way to grow up, to navigate your way to where you are now against the rest of the world that maybe isn't so much into that?
Yeah, there's England. It's easy to do that, grow up in England and be a bit of a freak, because I think it's quite an eccentric place. And maybe because it's an island, it has an island mentality where it's very odd and lots of people wear weird clothes. And I guess a lot of the big cultural shifts, you know, the 60s and the 70s, in England, it was quite exciting. You know, there was a lot of fashion.
So you didn't stand out as much as we would think.
No,
you would.
Maybe not, but a little bit. But you know, look at Bowie. You know, the impact that Bowie had, and you know, he used to wear some pretty out there clothes. Mm-hmm. But you know, this last week.
But not everyone can pull that off, though. I mean, there are a lot of people who would be fans of David McGuire. Oh, I wish I had that sense of style, or I wish I was comfortable enough to do that. But most people aren't. What's interesting to me.
Well, you have to be in a sort of position where you're allowed to pull that off. I think because we had a TV show that was doing well and we used to do live shows, then people kind of want that, because they want some fantasy strand or make-believe. They want to believe that you are slightly different or otherworldly or something. You know.
You're younger than that, are your parents worried about you at all?
I got my dress sense from my mum. My mum's pretty out there. No, I was quite shy when I was growing up. So maybe it was when I hit art college that I started wearing makeup and dressing
weirder. I think I probably dressed quite straight up until that point, but relatively straight.
You were tweeting a decent amount about Bowie last week.
Yeah, I was there. If you're, I mean, I'm sure worldwide it's devastating, but if you're from England, it's it is like someone from the royal family's died. It was pretty shocking. Also, I think because he was quite private at the end, no one really knew, so it was a big shock.
And he's from near where you're from, right?
Yeah, he's from Bromley, I believe, in Kent, which is just down the road from me, because my parents live near Brixton, and it's not that far. So we've got a similar sort of accent, which is why the whole Bowie thing confused me, because yeah. I'm sort of from the same place as him, and I would say Bowie.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, it's Bowie. And I go, well, I'm from where he's from, naturally.
Maybe I'm right.
Yeah, naturally.
He was just being contrary, I think. Well,
almost trying to talk like David now. It's like I got keep slipping back in. But no, I think that
chose the name from Jim Bowie?
Did he?
No, right?
Maybe, yeah.
He's from the Alamo Hero. That's where he got the name.
Was he called David Jones?
That was his name, yeah.
You already
yeah.
had a mm-hmm. Davy Jones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Monkees.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I love the Monkees too.
Well,
big
who
Mike,
doesn't?
Big Mike Nesmith fan.
So you never met David Bowie?
I did a photo shoot where I had to dress up as him, which was quite tricky because he's so thin. So I had to recreate some of his styles. So I didn't eat for like 3 weeks and I had to recreate lots of his styles. And it was in the paper in England, The Guardian, and he saw it and put it on his Facebook page at the front of his and
did
sent
really?
Me an email. And I was like, the most thrilled I've ever been. And I was like, I didn't even know that you knew who I was. And I love the Boosh. And that was it then. I thought I could
retire. Oh, so you never got
now.
A chance to meet him?
And I thought I would then, if I could, you know, at some point, if I saw him somewhere, I could say, hey, and we could meet. And it never happened.
But it's so nice you had that connection, though, and you knew that he was a fan of yours as you were of his. That's
great. And also when they did an exhibition of his style at the V&A in London, and they've moved it to Australia since. Just sort of showed his clothes and his styles and, you know, all these things, gold discs, everything to do with his life. And they had a big sort of wall of people influenced by him, and he had a picture of me up there, so that was good.
Okay, so you toured with David Bowie.
Yeah, I did.
Are you a thrift shop clothes guy, or do you have stylists for all that, Noel? Because you're in the right city to go look for crazy clothes this week.
Well, you know what? I just came from San Francisco as well, and I didn't really have a chance. I was too busy to go shopping, and everyone was like, oh, what are you doing? You should have gone.
Yeah.
And I think here's great as well. I do have a stylist, but I like to go thrift store shopping because I don't really like it when you buy something and then you see someone else wearing it. That makes me feel quite... a part of me dies inside.
That is not an overreaction. That makes a lot of sense.
I go into a trance and I take the article of clothing off wherever I am and set fire to it. Even if I have to walk home in just my underwear, I don't care.
Somebody else is wearing the same underwear, though?
Then I have to go home naked.
Allie, take the man thrift shopping. Will you do that?
Fine.
Do you go thrift shopping?
I will. I will now.
You saw my coat.
That's right.
You liked my coat.
I love your coat. It looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, Bobcat said it looked like I'd skinned Elmo.
Oh, well.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
That's very upsetting.
I know.
Oh, that took a turn.
We have to take a very quick, very tiny break. I promise we'll be right back with our guest, Noel Fielding. He is a funny man. And this evening with Noel Fielding, I do want to spend some time talking about, because it is not just your typical guy on a stage walking with a microphone. I mean, he puts on a show. There's a reason it's called An Evening With. The shows are coming to the Fonda March 29th through April 2nd. Tickets are on sale right now through AXS.com. Don't miss this. More with Noel in a moment on K-Rock.
We just spent, 10 minutes talking about how to make tea.
It's important.
Well,
it's odd.
A proper cupper, Kevin. Come on.
Sure.
Our guest is Noel Fielding. He is a stand-up comedian, an actor, an artist, a musician. Which of those are you most, would you say, Noel, in your heart?
Wow. I guess I like painting a lot. I do a lot of painting. But I want to be funny. I always try to write comedy. Music, not so much. I've been lucky to work with some really good people, like Julian from The Boosh, who's really musical. And now that I work with Sergio Pizzorno from Kasabian, who are a huge band in England.
Yep.
They're not
mm-hmm.
so big over here, I don't think, but they're big pretty much everywhere. So we work together on the music. We're in a band called Loose Tapestries, a sort of medieval funk band.
I'm sorry. The world needs that.
I'm sorry.
Medieval.
Explain how that works.
Yeah, we're going to do a tour of venues, only venues that have moats. That's what we need to do.
like you do.
2019.
Again.
Look out for that, kids. Yeah. If you've got a moat, let me know.
You got a. There was quite a bit of press on the band. What is it called? Loose what?
Loose Tapestries.
Loose Tapestries. There quite a bit of press because of your Christmas song this year and the special guest that ended up on it, which must have been a. Could you talk about that for a second? Because that is such a bizarre circumstance.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Idris Elba. String a bell from The Wire. Luther, Mandela.
Oh, so good on
Mandela.
Luther.
I'm just catching up on Luther.
So good.
He heard our Christmas song. We just sort of thought, let's write a Christmas song. And we thought, I wonder if we can. It's probably quite hard to do. And then we just started messing around. And we sort of came up with something that we quite liked. And then Serge knows Idris because he's a big Kasabian fan. And he played it to him. And he went, oh, let me rap on it. So we said, yeah, go for it.
Really?
So he sort of took it away and he came back with a rap. And we just thought, this is great because now we can put... featuring Mandela on the cover. So this is going to sell.
Right? It'll definitely sell in South Africa. For sure.
So we were like, this is great. But then we just, what we did is we thought it'd be nice to give it away as a gift so you could just download it for free. And we just put it on YouTube. We made a little animated sort of video for it, a very basic DIY video. Rather than trying to put it in the charts or do it for charity or sort of try and make money out of it, we thought, it's Christmas. Let's just give it away, which no one really does these days.
It's very nice.
So we just did that this year. So, it was fun. We got quite a lot of exposure. People kept finding it and going, what's this? And then playing it on the radio. Can we play this on the radio? And I was like, yeah, you can. We've given it away.
Nobody understood.
Yours.
Nobody understood. It's like,
I don't understand what's happening.
So where do I pay?
This has got a string of bell on it.
All right, cool. Speaking of the animation, and I mentioned all the other things you do, tell me how this show comes together when it's an evening with you. Try to do a little bit of all of those things, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not painting. May not be some painting on stage.
I'd like to do some live painting on stage. But I haven't
worked That'd be fun out. For the audience.
A 14-hour show.
God. I'm just going to shade the sky now, so bear with me. This would be a good point to go to the toilet. Now you'll see I'm cross-hatching on the upper cheek.
No, but I'm sort of... it's stand-up to begin with. I like to come in and chat to the audience and sort of get them warmed up and do some material. And then I always get... I don't get bored. I just think that there's so much you can do on stage that to just do stand-up, unless you're one of the greats, you know, like Pryor or, you know, Robin Williams or Steve Martin, someone who really is amazing, then I always try and do more, you know. So I wanted to do anime. The Moon's in the show from The Mighty Boosh, and we thought we'd do a new character for The Moon, the dark side of The Moon. So he's got like an alter ego now. It's like Jekyll and Hyde, and you'd never really know which character's going to come round. And he's like the sort of villain of the piece. And then I sort of thought it'd be nice to do some animation on stage. I have a big sort of screen that has a sort of claymation world in it. And I do a sort of plasticine claymation version of Joey Ramone. So it's like a children's story that I read and he's sort of the main character in it. And I thought what'd be great with animation live is if I could go into the animation and become animated and...
What's happening right now?
Get him into it. Let him talk. Let him talk.
And then maybe take someone from the audience on stage and put them into an animation so they become an animation. So we thought that's interactive. That would be amazing. So that's what happens. We get someone from the audience. They go behind a door, like Narnia, into the animation. We dress them up. And then they appear as a claymation figure and have a bit of an adventure with David Bowie. There's a sort of claymation David Bowie as the Goblin King from Labyrinth and Joey Ramone. There's a Minotaur in there.
I hope somebody just tuned in because it just sounds like the rantings of a crazy man.
I know.
It is, Kevin. It
took a long time
to
get this show to make sense. It's very tight, though. We've been working on it for a long time. So it's sort of concentrated madness.
That is wonderful. An evening with Noel Fielding, 5 nights, March 29th through April 2nd at the Fonda. This tour marks his first U.S. tour, right?
Yeah.
Available at AXS.com. Do you have, I know we're almost out of time, Noel, we could talk to you all day, but do you have ambitions to do something for America, or are you content to do what you do and let us all come to you?
Do you know, I love America. A lot of my favorite comedy is from America. Mitch Hedberg and Emo Phillips and Stephen Wright and, you know, Robin, all these people that I've grew up loving. And so... there's something, I love all the Saturday Night Live people, I love Belushi. There's so much comedy that I love in America. Mm-hmm. But when you're English, you're never quite sure. As you say, I dress like a freak, and my show's quite insane. People get taken and put inside animation, so there's music in it and sketches. But, you know, it's very eccentric. But
I don't think people go to see your shows to be catered to as
no.
Americans.
Well, I think maybe it's best to keep your quirkiness.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I've got a few ideas, and I'm talking to a few people. I would love to do something on television over here, maybe Adult Swim or somewhere like that. You know, somewhere. I mean, we don't have an Adult Swim in England.
Don't.
So we don't have the equivalent of that. So, you know, obviously Tim and Eric and, you know, Wonder Shows and Xavier Renegade Angel. When I saw these shows, it blew my mind, you know, that somewhere existed. And then the Boosh ended up being on there. And it's sort of, if you're a cult out here, you can do pretty well. Yeah. England's a very small place. If you're a cult in England, you know, it's tricky. You've got to try and make enough money to keep doing what you do, you know. So you have to slightly cross the mainstream. But over here, I think you could probably exist as a cult. So I would absolutely love to do something over here and then do a lot more touring here. I've never been to lots of places. I've never been to Boston, never been to Seattle. We're going to those places. Never been to New Orleans. There's so many places in America.
Oh, you're going to have such fun.
Yeah, so hopefully
except
you might be able to get rid of me.
Yeah, how dare you?
Except
for
how
dare you?
I'm staying in this place, this studio right now.
Well, whatever you're doing is working for you, Noel. You got a lot of fans here, and we're excited about your shows coming up at the Fun. And look for Mr. Fielding on Conan tonight. And please come back and see us anytime you can, Noel. We really enjoy it.
Thank you. That was amazing. Thanks so much.
Linkin Park, 21 Pilots, and The Offspring in honor of birthday boy Noodles, all coming up this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. And we're going to make some time for your telephone calls, too, for Kevin Bean's What's Good. Should we open up the phones right now?
We can, sure.
People want to call? On any topic, if you've got something on your mind that we are not discussing that you think we should be, or if you've got a question or comment about the show or something in the news, or you want to talk Super Bowl, whatever it is, you can give us a call. Kevin and Bean's What's Good right now at 1-800-520-1067. All right, I got a great story for you guys. I'm trying to think, Kevin, if this has happened to us. Have we ever been involved in a broadcast where we started laughing uncontrollably at a very inappropriate time?
Wow. Yeah, a lot, but I don't know that it came through a lot of the time.
I can't think of that happening to us, but it's pretty common.
You mean at an inopportune time, when it's the worst thing you can do?
Yeah. Yes, that when it's not a funny thing that you're talking about, but for whatever reason, something that might have happened off the air or something that happened earlier, you just get the giggles. How about you, Allie? Did that ever happen to you in all the years you were on TV?
Luckily, I did the fun features, so it was never serious news, but there have been situations where I call them the church giggles, where you should not be laughing,
yeah,
and then it makes you laugh more, and then you've heard my laugh.
Then
it's like
you know
a seal being clubbed. It's just not good.
And of course, it happens to people who aren't on the broadcasting too. Just people, you know, sitting around the table, and something awful is going on, but for whatever reason, something catches you. Well, this is a lady who was on TV. She is part of the Channel 3 News in New Zealand. Paul Henry is the main presenter on that show, and she is Hilary Berry, and she does the news, and she is coming out of a story about a guy, a serious story, by the way, a guy who was convicted of stalking a woman by going into her house and pooping on her floor. Okay?
Oh no.
And
wait, that's considered stalking?
Yes, in this case it was. So you're going to hear the report in the field of what's going on with the guy, and then you're going to hear her reaction to it and how unfortunate the next story is that she then tries to read on the air.
Oh, no.
It's no bueno.
Diplomat Mohamed Rizalman will be sentenced today at the High Court in Wellington on an indecent assault charge. Rizalman pleaded guilty, but there were still disputed facts over why he followed Tanya Billingsley home. Emily Cooper reports.
Mohamed Rizalman once had an untainted two-decade-long career in the Malaysian military. Today, he'll be sentenced for indecent assault. In November, he admitted following then-21-year-old Tanya Billingsley home. He said he'd had an emergency defecation situation and needed to use her bathroom, but the judge in the case found he had a sexual motive.
Okay, so he's claiming the fear. He's claiming emergency defecation situation.
Which is good.
Great band.
The judge disagreed, by the way, and considered it assault on the woman and said that he was doing it. He showed up at her house with no pants on, okay, to make this
show.
All right. So now the newsreader, now Hilary Berry, is coming out. She's heard about the emergency defecation situation and loses it.
An emergency defecation situation.
Anyway, carry on, Hillary.
Yeah, just as
I think
you
I'm
would.
Having one myself.
Right, so I think I'm having one myself. She's losing it. But now good. She realizes I'm on live TV. Something. I still got to read the news.
Yeah. I'm next, right.
Yeah.
All right, what's the next story going to be?
Because this next story is so tragic, I cannot be laughing. Right. Investigators believe a bomb caused the explosion on a plane which has just taken off from the Somali capital of Mogadishu. The blast blew a hole in the side of the plane, and one of the 74 passengers on board was sucked out, which is terrible. And I'm not laughing at that. As the plane was at relatively low altitude, there was no violent decompression and it held together. No one is responsibility.
Okay. She's talking about a guy getting sucked out of an airplane. Maybe you saw the pictures on
that
the internet.
That just happened like a week ago,
yes,
or something, right?
This would have like 2 days ago.
2 days
that,
ago.
That Somalia plane that has the hole in the side of it. A guy was sucked out of it, right?
Man.
But she's coming on after the emergency defecation situation. So, by the way, we're playing the Troom Friday night. You really should try to see them. And she cannot hold it together. She's reading the story. And she knows how bad it is.
Oh,
I mean, she
no.
even says, I can't be laughing at this story, but she can't stop.
Today could be the day I lose my job. Still, I get to lie in. Right. Severe storms are again hitting the United States.
So then she recovers and she moves on. But I can't. I mean, look. Right, Anderson? You know what it's like.
He gets that.
Sometimes.
Anderson? Right.
All right. That's right, Anderson.
Sure.
All right. Pull it together.
All right, we're going to take some calls next for Kevin Beans. What's good?
Call on any topic, 1-800-520-1067. Come on, Anderson. Be professional. Look who is back. One of our favorite comedians and actors, Hannibal Buress, in studio with us here on The Kevin Bean Show. The brand new comedy special on Netflix debuts a week from Friday, February 5th. It is called Hannibal Buress Comedy Camisado.
Hey.
I don't hablo the Espanol, Hannibal. What's that all about, the comedy camisado?
Camisado means a military attack that occurs at night. Yeah, that's all.
And that's you, man.
Nothing funny about it. It's just a military attack that happens at night.
Well, congratulations on the new comedy special coming
Thank
to Netflix.
You.
And by the way, you put your previous specials up on Netflix, too, so there's lots of Hannibal on the Netflix right now.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
We learned a lot watching this special that
you did?
We didn't know.
Yeah. Like what?
Things we didn't know. Like you can fly without a license.
You can fly that without a license.
I was like, is this a setup for a joke or what?
No, you can fly without, which would be, it makes sense that you can fly domestically without a license. Because if you showed up without a license and they said, oh, you don't have a license, I'm sorry. I guess you live in Dallas now. That would be weird.
Right, but don't they just say, go get your license and bring it back?
No, they don't. They if you go. Don't have it, then what can they do? They're going to just, they have to let you go. They just treat you horribly.
Okay.
They treat you like you lost your ID.
How many, like they should, how many times have you done that?
A couple times.
It
was about 3-4 times because I couldn't get back home. I had lost it, but I still had a few tour dates.
Oh, my
and
God.
Some filming. Yeah.
So each city you went to, you had to go through the same thing.
I had to
thing.
Go through. Yeah.
They,
where is it? Did you look here? Did you look there? It's like, stop talking to me like that. I don't have it. Is it at the hotel? No, it's not at the hotel. This is where, I don't know. Just let me through. Here's other stuff. Here's my, I don't know. I'm not messing with you. I just really need to get to this other place.
Does it help that you are a celebrity? Like if I tried it, would I be able to do it?
It varies. Sometimes it's very. I have weird fame.
Okay,
but I'm not all over famous.
Right, mm-hmm. But the people like you love you. I imagine.
I'll put this. I'm like. I'm not. If I go in a Cracker Barrel.
Right.
I'm that famous.
Okay.
But if I go into Urban Outfitters, I'm famous. That's the type of famous I am. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yes.
Yeah. It's certain places that I go to. Where thing it is, but it's not evergreen.
Not everywhere.
It's not evergreen. It's very specific, and it keeps me humble.
I was going to ask, do you like it that way?
I do like it that way.
Yeah, it seems like about the right
but
mix.
It's jarring, though. It's jarring to you know sometimes where it's just really quiet and I'm fine and things, and then all of a sudden it's Hannibal. And I don't like when people yell at me. I tell people quiet down. When people yell at me, I say, don't stop yelling at me. Stop yelling. Why are you screaming at me?
Why are you screaming my name?
That is stop not screaming. Just keep it down. You know, I don't scream, so don't scream at me.
Hannibal, the a lot of people are attracted to famous people, but yeah. I'm just wondering if it works in your favor to be a comedian when it comes to the ladies. Is comedy something that attracts the ladies to
definitely,
you as well?
Definitely. It is, yes. But this is what happens. Sometimes they try to be funny around
no.
me.
Oh no!
Like or they, which is fine, but they'll go too far, or they'll try to make it. It gets weird. Where it's just like you don't have to do that. Just relax. Relax. Everything's fine. Like, don't. And people in general will try to, like, because comedy is the only job, or one of the few jobs where people try to do it back to you.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right. Yeah, where they just, it's just, hey, don't, you don't have to tell me.
Because you might like me better if you find me funny.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I've become more honest just in my dealings with people, with strangers. Sometimes I was at a bar, I was with some people, and this girl comes up, hey, what's up, Aaron? Nice to meet you, and love your stuff. She said, you want to hear a joke? I said, no. No, I don't want to hear a joke.
I'll bet she started the joke, though.
She did not.
She did not. She all did right. not. Wow,
because I think she knew that I didn't want to hear the joke.
Right.
She threw it out. Most people would just go into it, and she just... She didn't. And
that
I didn't
weird phenomena. That is a weird phenomenon because you don't see people like singing to singers.
So people don't sing to sing for the most part. Yeah. It's just it's dicey, man.
But you know. Hannibal Buress is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, the comedy special debuting on Netflix on February the 5th. I saw an announcement from you this week about something that I was very interested in, Hannibal, that you are an artist in residence at Spotify. You put together a playlist of comedy and music, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's pretty cool.
Well, mostly music, and I talk between the songs.
Mostly music?
Yeah. It's all songs, and I talk about the different songs between.
And I know you're a huge, huge music fan, and you got everybody from Busta Rhymes to Tribe Called Quest and Nas and Kanye and everything on there. Were you traveling, or were you close enough to your phone that you could follow the Kanye Wiz Khalifa beef that broke this week?
Oh, I was looking at my phone, excited.
Did you love it?
Do you love beef?
I was excited, and I was a part of me that, hey, can they chill out? Because my Spotify thing just got announced, and they are dominating the music news right now.
There's something about Twitter beef
Kanye,
that I love.
Because Wiz didn't say much. Kanye was really upset. He ended up coming off looking like an old dad a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he tweeted, Wiz Khalifa said, I'm about to hit this KK.
Uh-huh, that's right.
KK means Khalifa Kush.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kanye thought it meant Kim Kardashian, and he went, don't talk about my wife like that. Yeah. And then Khalifa's like, no, it's weed, man. And then Kanye's looking crazy. He starts talking, and he ends up deleting everything, but, you know, it's promotion for an album. But he did come off looking like an old man.
Do you know him?
I've met him a couple times.
Met him a couple times, but wouldn't say you know him?
I wouldn't say I know him, but we know each other, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
He's
a little intense.
I think he publicly he kind of will be a little bit more off kilter, but he's more relaxed.
More of the other KK. That's what he needs.
Yeah,
he needs to calm down a bit. He came in here one time. It was a surprise. We didn't know he was going to be here, and he walked through the door and sat down.
Yeah,
and man, when you look in his eyes. It's all he believes everything he's saying 1,000%.
Hey man, you gotta believe in yourself.
He does.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah.
That he does. You get it. You ever get into any beefs with other comics or other celebrities?
No, not really. I don't get any beefs. It's just exhausting. It's just weird. So just to be going back and forth with somebody.
I
wouldn't do it publicly. You know what I mean? When I hear people talk about me in an interview, I'm not about to talk about you in an interview. I'm going to just call you on the phone and say, hey, you good?
Right.
Is everything all right? I'd rather not make it a thing for people to...
I got to tell you, I love Twitter for this reason, because it lets people speak that probably need a mouthpiece or a PR person in between them and the public, and it just sometimes it's super entertaining.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, also strangers can write whatever they want to you.
Yeah.
Well, that was my next question, is how do you handle when you – I'm sure you get haters on your Twitter
sure.
who are just wanting to just come down on you for whatever reason. They don't think you're funny or whatever. Do you just ignore them or you engage?
Sometimes I'll just – it was just, it's funny just people's angles sometimes. Because I think it'd be funny if somebody would write me, why are you even doing comedy? It's like, because some people enjoy it. Like, I just find it interesting that people would choose to write something negative towards me than writing something positive towards somebody they enjoy and supporting somebody.
Yeah, I've never understood the time and energy it takes to tell someone you don't like them.
Yeah, it's just
why
like,
don't you just ignore
that's
them?
Fine, you don't have to like me, but this is my job. Like somebody, like, why you need to stop doing comedy and take up gardening or something? It's like, if I did that, I'd be broke like you. Like, don't I'm not gonna stop doing comedy because you don't like it. It's fine. You know, people like what they like, but you know, enough people like what I do to make sense for me to keep
how
going.
Much do you pay attention to people who talk about you on
I
Twitter
look at,
or in
I
the
see
media
it,
wherever.
I see it, but see I don't engage it anymore, because if you engage it, that's where it just kind of flares up, and you know, it's just like being, I mean, I look at it now as just being a product where, you know, I don't like certain restaurants sometimes, or
right.
I don't like this movie, or I look at myself like that, where if you're that public in the same, and then people are going to, you know, speak about you. Some people are going to enjoy it, some people are going to not. Some people are going
to
be sure. Different.
You'll just go to another restaurant rather than go to that restaurant
but
and
I'm
tell
not,
them how
and
much
I,
they suck.
And I have all these things that I, you know, have feelings about, but I wouldn't go out of my way to tell them, you know what I mean?
I got to tell you, what is a little bit funny to me, though, is occasionally the people that are the meanest, if you go to their account, like, they just started that account and they tweeted that one thing.
Yeah.
Like, they started, and that's how far they go. They want to tell you they hate you so much that they start an account just to tell you that.
I saw somebody yesterday that said something to me. They said, he said, I saw Hannibal Buress in a Samsung commercial getting ready to go buy an iPhone. And I looked at his account. He hadn't tweeted. That was his first tweet in 5 years.
Yeah.
I was like, I felt honored. Like, you.
I brought you out of retirement.
You stopped tweeting. You didn't tweet for half a decade. And then you saw my commercial. And you wrote me. I feel honored. Wow.
Sure. Hannibal, we're not going to have as much time as we had hoped with you today, because I know you're running late. But I want to mention, in addition to the Comedy Conversato special, which is a week from Friday on Netflix, you are going to be back with Broad City. We're going to see more of Dr. Lincoln coming up here soon, right? That's debuting again.
Yeah, February 17th.
And Eric Andre's show, too?
I think in summer. We filmed Eric Andre's show already. I think Adult Swim is weird. We're not having an exact date, but I'm thinking June or July or something.
Your participation in the Eric Andre show is always fascinating to me, because you just, it seems sort of just like you're an interested observer. Occasionally you'll shake your head no or whatever, but he just goes like a crazy man.
Dude, the day I get there, that's when I know what's going on. I usually don't know what's happening ahead of time. I mean, with guests or different bits. With the it's one of the popular bits from last season was me doing a Morpheus rap,
right?
And I didn't know it was just it's me doing Morpheus, just rhyming Morpheus work. And when I got there, I didn't know that day. It was like, hey, just you put on this suit and rhyme words with Morpheus.
You got a weird job, Hannibal.
Yeah, I have a very it's a weird job. It's a fun one though.
When I first saw. And I swear this is true. When I first saw Dr. Ben Carson on TV, I thought, oh, my God, Hannibal Buress is running for president. I really did. It was so funny to me. And ever since then, every time I see him, he just so reminds me of you. It's just funny to me.
Yeah, Ben Carson, I don't like him because he looks too much like he could be my dad, man. Yeah, he looks like he'd be my dad. I feel like he's been watching my specials and stealing my delivery a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He's totally got your delivery.
Also, I mean, what is... Because I didn't watch. Did you watch the debate yesterday? I didn't watch.
I did.
Bean did. I did not.
It just feels like at some point it's just like, hey, I'm out of here, y'all. I'm not gonna win.
Yeah,
It's no chance of him winning, but he's still going for. It's weird.
There are a lot of candidates like that are spending a ton of dough and don't have a prayer.
Yeah, they don't. It's just like, I guess they're just promoting something. I wish they would just sell a T-shirt or something else. At least pitch something else. Like, hey, I got a podcast. I know this
would
president.
You listen to Dr. Ben Carson's podcast?
I would listen to
it. You would not, sir.
If he sped it up. I listened to it at 1.5 speed.
That's the only way to go.
Well, the special is very, very funny, you guys. It's going to be debuting on Netflix next Friday, February 5th, recorded at the Varsity Theater in Minnesopolis. It's called Hannibal Buress Comedy Calisado. It's great to have you back, Hannibal.
Thank
we
you
always enjoy
me.
When you have time to stop by, man. And let's do it again, okay?
Yep.
Banjos are strong with that one. Hey, actor John Stamos joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll meet yet another Miss Double December contestant. She is Mallory, and she will be in. She is vying to wear the crown. And again, the live broadcast is going to be this Friday in Fullerton. If you want to join us, please do remember to bring a new unwrapped toy as your price of admission and come on down to the slide bar in Fullerton. It's going to be fun.
We have a file that we keep with clips of Bean saying things that nobody has said in maybe 100 years. Maybe.
Come on. I don't like that kind of talk. I don't cotton to it.
And it's old-timey Bean.
It's time for old-timey, old-timey Bean. He uses words that he thinks are keen. Come on, Daddy-O, see what we mean. It's time for old-timey Bean.
Not sure I,
the cat's pajamas.
That's right. Yeah. I like what you guys are suggesting here,
that's
by the way.
That's the bee's knees right there.
I'm very current, very contemporary, and extremely hip.
That is what you're known for. That's true. All right, let's listen to the first one. This is an example that Bean is giving as we're talking about, I don't know, something went wrong with the game where we were doing a giveaway and Ralph was upset and Bean was trying to explain.
How could we have laid this out so that it would have been fairer, Ralph?
I don't know, but you rigged it.
Look, somebody enters a foot race.
I can already tell this is going to fail.
Come on. This is going to be a good one.
Somebody enters
a foot race.
Somebody enters the 100-yard dash. Maybe it's not fair because one guy happens to be sick, but he still has to compete.
No, that's on the competitor. They don't set it up. One guy runs on glass and bare feet, and the other guy runs in sneakers in the foot race.
Foot race?
Come on down to the Palladium. See the foot race. The man will race against a steam engine. Who will win, man or machine?
Who says foot
we'll
race?
We'll find out down at the Palladium.
Are they not called foot races anymore?
No one calls them a foot race.
Not the last 100 years.
That's just the original marathon in ancient Greece.
Bean loves when people die, and this particular one is confusing, and that's what he's describing.
Someone got killed, but when you hear the circumstances around the death, you're going to be your puzzler's going to be sore.
My puzzler's going to be sore.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I'm looking forward to that. My puzzler's going to be sore.
I've been working all day with my puzzler trying to figure out this conundrum.
Bean, do you hear it?
One of those fancy word puzzles.
Bean's not around people, so that's sort of what's weird to me. Like, where do you hear this stuff?
I don't
on
know.
On the internet?
I TV? Mean, I last assume time my puzzler was this sore, I was working on my abacus.
I assume that, like everybody else in the world, your vocabulary is everything that you've heard and taken in your whole life from lots of sources. TV, you know, movies, internet, other
prospectors.
People, school, prospectors,
yeah.
General store.
1920s swimmers in straw hats.
We were talking to Mama Muggs about the playoffs, the Dodgers playoffs. But Mama Muggs, a lot of people have to at certain times and don't.
Right.
Or can't. And
he came through. Look, he's off the schneid now.
What?
He's off the schneid.
That's a legitimate expression that people know and use.
I'm not saying
I remember during the Black Sox baseball scandal.
I'm not saying it's not legitimate. I'm saying nobody says it anymore.
Phil Rizzuto was the last person to use that phrase before he passed.
You get the monkey off your back.
He's off the schneid. I think he's in for a world of trouble. I hope he doesn't choke on that tobacco juice.
All right, we were talking about Charo. I have no idea how that came up, but we were talking about Charo, and Bean was, Bean.
She totally has, you know, the va-va-voom going on, if you get my meaning.
Oh, my God.
Really?
The
really?
Va-va-voom?
Yes.
Wait, really? Are we still at war with Germany?
That's an expression that means, you know, curvy and with sex appeal.
Right. Bean, we know that.
Right. But
But va-va-voom. All right, maybe you don't hear it as often as you once
you
did.
You don't think so? You don't think since the Blitzkrieg we've been talking about the va-va-voom?
But then he said, if you get my meaning.
If you get my meaning.
What?
She's got the rodeo go. That Betty Boop is quite the cartoon character. When I watch her, she makes my blood boil.
Longtime friend Dr. Mo has done some great things and is helping out one of our listeners right now, and Bean wants to give him some credit. So anyway, that's just a tip of the hat to a guy who has been a friend of the show for a long, long time, so we really appreciate him so much.
Tip of the hat. Something I've never said. Tip of the hat.
I give you a tip of my hat, and also I'll clean your monocle. Hand me down your walking stick.
That's a compliment, you guys, a tip of the hat.
We know what the words mean.
Okay.
I'm just saying no one says it like that anymore. Ralph is talking about a Kevin Bacon movie sequel.
Kevin Bacon is reportedly working on a TV series spinoff of one of his most popular films, Tremors. Remember Tremors?
Yes.
Oh, the one where he got the palsy?
We call it the palsy. Is that a thing?
No.
Was it ever?
Not since people started actually naming diseases. No.
Here's my favorite, though. This is the final one. This is Bean talking about a story where you use an Uber to help you get away after a robbery. But Bean doesn't know the word robbery, so he uses something else.
You give him an address, and you say, hey, pull up out front. I'll be right out. You go in, knock the joint over, come back out, get in the Uber.
Yeah, see? You're going to knock the joint over. I hope Johnny Law doesn't show up, or else he's going to be eating lead, see?
Just knock the joint over.
Now, you mugs, get back in that Model T and get it up to 25 miles per hour.
So, keep doing what I'm doing?
You're doing good work.
And go.
Love that Cage the Elephant, by the way. Fun band. Got The Cure coming up, and also Cold War Kids, who were so fun on our show a couple of days ago. If you missed it, you should check out the podcast or check out krock.com. It's great to have those guys in. Welcome to a Thursday morning here on KROQ. Kevin, I understand you're going to introduce him to some new friends here, right?
Whatever you just said, yes.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I hate to be the one to have to spring it to you, but Bezo Doo Doo Zoppity Bop 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 got arrested.
No.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, he got arrested. This is Jeffrey Wilkes. In 2011, he literally changed his name legally to Bezo Doo Doo Zoppity Bop Bop Bop. And he was arrested for attacking a police officer. The officer is fine, but he went crazy. He tried to bite. He tried to punch. He threw rocks. He grabbed an officer's handcuffs. He was just out of his mind. And he tried
Those are all bad choices.
And he tried to stab a cop with a pen. Oof. And then tried to get away, run away from the cops that he was trying to beat up.
Never going to go well.
Right?
What do you suppose is the mindset of changing your name to, say it again?
It is Bezo Doo Doo Zoppity Bop 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 Bean.
What do you think? What's going on there, do you think?
I can explain.
Like,
thank you for asking.
Oh, fantastic.
Bezo explained that his first name represents, quote, the explosion of awareness of the interconnectedness of the infinite love in the universe.
Obviously.
Okay, so that's just the Bezo part.
Now I feel stupid for asking.
Right?
I didn't realize it's so obvious.
Doo-doo is the struggle of our daily lives with that awareness. That with love comes chaos.
Okay.
So that's what doo-doo means. And then zoppity bop 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 is the outcome of that struggle, which often ironic, especially because all life ends in death.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Okay. Now I'm on board with the man.
I hate to tell you that he got arrested, but he did. Another idiot criminal was arrested for trying to steal a butt plug.
In use?
Nope. He told police he was too embarrassed to buy it. He had the money on him.
Oh, no.
But he was too embarrassed to buy it. Christopher Masters, 33, was arrested after a manager at Spencer's gift store reported seeing him stick these two items down his shorts and tried to get out of the store with them.
Incredibly common. I mean, anyone who's ever worked retail will tell you that that's the stuff that is most likely to get stolen, is the stuff that people are embarrassed to buy. Go to any drugstore and talk to them about how condoms get stolen all the time. People just don't want that eye contact when they walk up to the counter to buy, in this case, a butt plug.
And they sell butt plugs at Spencer's? That is shocking to me. Wow.
Well, here's what they were exactly. The sex toys were described as an aroused screw butt plug.
Okay.
And an aroused stroker can. And he put both of them in the front of his pants and walked out.
All right. Well, he plans for the weekend, man.
And they charged him with grand theft butt plug. And then in Portland, Oregon, a guy stole a snake. But not just any snake, a 2-foot-long python from a Portland pet store last Friday. It was just, it went missing.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what happened to it. So they went back. They do have video surveillance. And they watched this guy. And he handed his car keys to his girlfriend. And she ran out of the store. And then he took the 2-foot-long python and put it down the front of his pants. Yes, he did.
Oh, man.
He put the python down the front of his pants.
Don't you have to think that through and go, all right, this might not end well. Like, that is possibly a very bad choice.
I think that's a given. Don't you start with this is a bad choice?
Yes.
And the owner of the store said that it was feeding day yesterday, so he was super, super lucky. Because had it been feeding day, things would have gotten much, much worse. And finally, cops say finger-biting Walmart shopper stole lube and panties. I'm seeing a trend here.
Definite trend.
The woman who works at a
I want to know what kind of Google alert Kevin has on his computer that he's getting all these stories.
The woman who was working at a strip club apparently has been convicted last year of attacking a fellow dancer with a shoe. Carolyn Wright is her name, from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. She was arrested early Sunday as an officer saw her swipe numerous items, including condoms, lube, and panties.
All right.
Two employees attempted to stop her from leaving the store, and this is when she went crazy. She punched one in the face. Somebody else punched her in the face.
Wow.
One of the officers, it was like a loss prevention officer, tried to reach out and grab her. She bit his finger off. She bit off his finger.
Dude.
His finger was not on anymore.
Yeah, I got it.
She bit it off.
Okay.
Don't stand in the way of that woman and her lube,
right?
Man.
If that woman needs lube that bad,
let her have it.
I don't know what kind of drought is going on down there, but whatever it is, if she's willing to bite off your finger, you let her walk out with that lube. Maybe give her an extra one.
What else is she willing to bite off? That's concerning.
That is concerning. And those are Kevin and Bean Citizens of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Comedian Hannibal Buress joins us later on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Plus, we want to hook you up with tickets to go see Weezer this summer in one of the final concerts ever at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater and get you qualified for the grand prize drawing we'll do Monday morning to send you to see the band in Amsterdam. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016.
R. Kelly is a special dude.
I love R. Kelly, by the way.
But you don't love all of
R. Artistically.
Kelly.
No. Professionally and artistically, I am a huge fan. I think he is a genius when it comes to R&B music. I really think he is great.
Are you a fan of him, Kevin? Are you a fan of him peeing on his goddaughter?
Well, no, that's what I said.
Okay,
I said professionally and artistically, I am a huge fan. But this is one of those guys, like people struggle with how to come to grips with Woody Allen, the person, versus Woody Allen, the artist. R. Kelly is like that. You know, do you decide you're going to enjoy Bump and Grind and Ignition and ignore Peeing on His Goddaughter? And didn't he marry Aaliyah when she was like 15, too? Wasn't that R. Kelly?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, so it's definitely, I mean, I definitely have two minds when it comes to R. Kelly, but he is a fascinating guy who very rarely sits down for in-depth interviews. And when he does, he has a lot of ground rules. There's a lot of stuff he won't talk about. He did an interview a couple of weeks ago with Huffington Post. Maybe you saw the video online where he just stood up and pulled off his microphone and just walked out when they started asking about some of the charges against him in the past. He just won't talk about it, understandably. But he consented to an interview with GQ with no restrictions, and they sat down with him for several hours over the course of 3 different days and interviewed him about all facets of his life. And it's pretty darn interesting, particularly the part where they asked him to sing his life story.
Just a quick version of. And it's 45 minutes long, and it starts with this.
Are we rolling? Are we rolling? This is my life. I'm R. Kelly and this is my life. This is my life. Okay. This is my life.
Okay, good.
I'm R. Kelly and this is my life.
45 minutes this goes on, and then he starts singing about riding a bike when he was a kid.
Born in the ghetto. Riding my bike, 14 years old. My mom said, you can go two blocks and come back. I said, okay, mama, two blocks and back. Okay, mama, two blocks and back. I promise two blocks and back.
45 minutes. Yeah, I don't know that we have that kind of time for the R. Kelly story, but we asked producer Dave, now that Mr. Kelly is giving interviews again, maybe we'd have a shot at getting him on the phone. And maybe we can ask some of our own questions. Hi, R. Kelly. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you today? I hope you're good. I'm feeling good. I'm really good.
We're good.
Are you good?
We're
That's
good.
Good. We're both good.
Right.
You're good.
We're good.
I'm good.
And you're good,
we're
right?
All good.
All of us are good.
I'm feeling good. Okay. That you're feeling good.
Good. Okay.
Same.
Fantastic.
All right.
So why now, R. Kelly? Why are you breaking the silence and consenting to doing interviews without the restrictions after you've been opposed to it for so long?
Well, when I was 3 years old, I grew up poor with a single mother on the south side of Chicago. Uh-huh. Construction started on a building a few miles away in the center of town, in the center of town.
Right, but the question was...
It was to be called the Sears Tower, but at the time, we didn't know what the name was going to be, so we just called it the Tower.
Right, okay. We may have gone back too far.
Years, it would be the tallest building in the world.
Right,
the
right.
The Tower.
I think Bean
the
asked...
The Tower. Which was actually renamed the Willis Tower in 2009.
Okay.
Although many Chicagoans, including myself, still refer to it by its original name. And I would go to that tower, and I'd say, look at that tower. It's
right.
So tall. It's a big, tall tower.
Right, okay.
The Sears Tower. Or the Willis Tower, depending on which one you want to use.
Okay, well, we're
it's
off topic.
It's a tower
now.
That was tall. It was so tall, I would look up at it and say, wow.
Okay.
That's a tall building.
All right, okay.
And we're it's really run out of- big, and I want to be big someday, so now I'm big, like the Sears Tower.
Right, okay.
Or the Willis Tower, as I mentioned, it was renamed in 2009.
Right.
Although, did I mention many Chicagoans still call it
still
by its original
to it as the
name?
Right. Right. Okay. Listen, it looks like we're only
going to
have time for maybe one,
Bean, make
one
it good.
More question. Okay. What's with all the peeing on the girls?
When I was a kid, I couldn't read like the other kids. Other kids could read, other kids could write, other kids could spell, other kids could do math. And I couldn't. So I felt bad about myself. I felt really bad. How I felt so bad, I had to pee on somebody. It makes me feel better. Peeing.
Right.
Where are you, Chuck?
Okay.
I want to pee on Chuck.
Okay.
Hey, Chuck.
Look, we got to go.
Pee on you.
All right.
Off the Sears Tower. Or the Willis Tower, whatever you want to call it.
We're not going back to the Sears Tower. Kevin, you're the head of the Scottish News Bureau here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Strange story. They were having a bake sale for an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And by they, it's the, Glasgow City Council mm-hmm. in Scotland. And they're having a bake sale. They're just trying to raise a little money. How much money can you raise with a bake sale? Right?
It's for the kids.
Right,
any
for
money's
the kids.
Good.
Agree. Yeah, you buy a cake and the proceeds go to a Romanian orphanage. Seems like a great cause. What could mm-hmm. go wrong?
Well, they found in one of the cakes that they came across, they found a dildo.
I'm sorry?
Well, somebody...
As a secret ingredient?
Somebody had taken a dildo
uh-huh.
and put it in the cake.
Like rammed it right into the cake?
That is the word that the article uses, yes.
Okay. All right.
Rammed it into the cake, and then they thought, well, you know, what could be wrong with all the others? And they pretty much canceled the bake sale.
You ram one dildo into a cake, you
right?
cancel the bake sale?
That's my
How
point.
How many times have I heard that?
Have some guts.
Well, I mean, I guess they understand if they find a sex toy in one cake, they're concerned about what might be inside the other cakes that they don't know about. So I guess I guess it sort of makes sense. But who would do such a thing and why? Is somebody just joking around?
Oh, I would imagine.
Or was somebody intentionally trying to sabotage the charity raising effort?
I don't know anybody
Someone
could be that
Romanian
angry.
Romanian orphans.
I don't know that they could be that
hate
angry.
Romanian orphans. Well, clearly, as always, we have many questions about this story. Just the barest of details are available to us here. So we thought, let's go to the man on the ground. He is with the Glasgow City Council, and his name is Laird McLeish. He joins us on the Kevin O'Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. McLeish. Welcome to the show, sir.
Mark, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. Thank you for having me on your radio show.
Certainly. So you're a member of the city council. Were you there on the day, I guess it was last Friday, of this now infamous bake sale?
Ach, sadly, I was there. Mm. I was there to witness all the carnage. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster. There we were, just trying to raise some money for some wee Romanian orphans. And the next thing you know, you're biting into a dildo.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants to take a delicious bite of soft, moist chocolate cake and come up with a mouthful of dildo.
It's a little unfortunate that it was a chocolate
it's
cake, isn't it?
It's a little unfortunate. It's a really disaster, it is.
It's a disaster.
You're going in to have a sweet, sweet taste of cake. You take your first mouthful.
Right.
And then suddenly there it is.
Yeah.
A huge latex penis dangling from your lip.
Right. Nobody wants that.
No one be wanting that.
So when the sex toy was discovered, it was just pandemonium.
It wasn't discovered. It was in poor Darlene McIntosh's face.
Oh no.
And then, of course, all the camera phones had to come out.
Sure, oh, no. Yeah.
How's Darlene going to live that moment down, I ask you?
No, that's a tough way to go.
Well, she's not dead.
That's true.
A tough way to go. She didn't choke on the dildo.
Well, yeah, wow. Who knows? She could have.
But I'm telling you, she didn't.
Oh, okay. She didn't. All right. Okay.
Stop making up your own sordid stories as if this isn't bad enough.
Yeah, it's true.
Now you've got poor Darlene dying and choking on a giant dong. No,
right, but
we were just asking. We didn't want that to be true.
You were making assumptions.
No, I'm saying we don't want that to be true.
You're as bad as the bastard who put that dildo in that chocolate cake.
I don't think we are.
And then all the other cakes had to be put in a bin. They had to be destroyed. Yeah. Who knows what else was lurking there inside those cakes?
Yeah.
What could have been
indeed?
Let's not.
What could have been,
Laird? Into a cupcake and then suddenly, what's this? it's a French tickler in my mouth. Or perhaps you take a nice bite of a scone and you end up with a pair of Benoit balls.
Really going for it.
Who knows what could have happened if the cakes had continued to be
right?
Eaten.
What else could have been in there, Laird?
It would have been a disastrous sex shop in your mouth. Next thing you know, you're spitting out condoms.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst bake sale ever.
Jim Rome talks sports on the Kevin O'Bean Show every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, so that is coming up. First, though, I've got this email. Hey, Kevin O'Bean, my name is Austin. I was listening to a podcast this week when a woman on What's Good called in from Delaware, said she was a big fan of the show. She had never lived in California. You all seem pleasantly surprised by this. I'd like to say that I live in Florida. I've also never lived in Southern California, and I found out your show by chance through hearing Ralph on Hollywood Babylon. I just wanted to say thanks for all the laughs. You guys really get me through my week. P.S. What's Up with Florida is one of my favorite segments. This from a man, by the way, who lives in Florida. How crazy must it be to live in Florida where this stuff is happening all the time?
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
You just must get used to it.
Austin, we really appreciate the email. We really appreciate you and all the other podcast listeners around the world who listen to the show. And just for you, how about a brand new What's Up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Even though this story was dated January 8th, the first week, practically, of 2016, we may already have a contender for the greatest headline of the year. Man kills best friend after their balls touch in threesome with stripper. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Wait. He killed his best friend for that?
Yes, he did. His name, by the way, was Curtis Mayfield. No, not the famous one. This is a 39-year-old in Tampa Bay. He was arrested this week after a threesome he engaged in with his best friend and a local stripper took a tragic twist. Mayfield shot and killed his friend after, in his own words, their balls touched. Mayfield, incensed with the homoerotic suggestion, went for his gun. He said, "There's only so much a man can take, and blank, blank, blank ain't one of them." Halfway through, I yelled, "Switch." And it was his fault. If he would have turned left instead of right, our balls would have never touched, and he would still be alive. Enraged by what had happened, he grabbed his gun and shot his friend point blank in the chest. By the way,
wow,
terrible for the man's best friend who died in a threesome. What's it like for the stripper?
Right.
What's going through her head?
Hey, we were all having a good time just like 30 seconds ago. How's someone dead?
30 seconds ago, this was the best evening of all of our lives, and now look. He has been arrested, charged with murder in the first degree. Bail has been set for $50,000. Nobody saw that being the outcome of that evening
Wow.
when they went into that. They made that decision. Here's a Florida woman who got a serious case of the munchies after getting high in Walmart. I love everything about Jocelyn Lopez, 25 years old. She was riding a cart around the Walmart in Lecanto, Florida. She had several meals in the store while she was there. She's in a motorized shopping cart. There's a picture of her with a half-empty wine bottle. She was arrested for shoplifting. She at one point grabbed a sushi package, ate one roll, then put it back on the shelf. Then she had a package of mini muffins. Then she had a package of cinnamon rolls. At one point, she ate most of a rotisserie chicken sitting on the floor. All told, she ate
Wow.
through $32.36 worth of food. Police found three empty syringes in her bags. Lopez admitted that, yeah, she had just shot up some meth and that she was starving, but she did not want to take the items outside the store, so she tried to eat everything she could while she was still inside the Walmart. She was charged with petty theft and for stealing the food and drug possession. So all of that happening. That's a pretty classic Florida lady right there. Here's another one. A 23-year-old Florida woman decided to celebrate the end of her probation on a drug conviction by doing what, do you suppose?
Getting drugs.
Well, she threw a Xanax and weed-fueled rager for her and her underage friends. Imagine, I'm not on probation anymore for that drug charge. Let's party. She told her mom she was going out to dinner, but she instead hosted a party at a travel lodge in North Fort Myers. The party included alcohol, marijuana, and other drugs, as well as six teenage friends, all underage. Lee County Sheriff's Office arrived after receiving a complaint from the other hotel guest. Deputies also found a strobe light and glow sticks. So this party was really
prepared.
Going right, by the way, right? She was charged with six counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor and one count of possession of drugs and drug equipment. At one point, by the way, I would have loved to have seen this. All of the girls ran into their rooms to start flushing the toilets down, you know, the drugs down the toilet, but it was too late. This one, I can't believe how much fun the author had writing the story about a 55-year-old woman in Port Lucie, Florida. The headline at the top of the page is, "It's a case of law and odor." And then you go down a little further as the article begins, and the headline is, "Marriage isn't always a gas." So can you see where this one is headed?
Yeah,
it's very
funny. Woman was arrested earlier this month for domestic battery after allegedly attacking her husband for farting in bed.
Mm.
The flatulence flap.
Wait, hold on. Hold on a second. Yes, Sally?
I'm just saying, if it was
that
like
sounded,
a...
You're
like
all right
a,
with that.
If he, what is it, like Dutch ovender? Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat but, him down.
All right.
But
okay.
Domestic battery assault in that case is
oh,
okay.
It's
like
a,
he,
an
like he
assault
it?
On her senses. That, well, he that's... did it. He probably did it on purpose and then made her smell it.
Well, it's possible.
Knowing guys, that's probably
yes.
true.
The flatulence flap occurred at around 3:20 a.m. in the home of Don Melke, according to police. Melke's husband told police she started elbowing him when he passed gas. Dawn began kicking him and eventually kicked him out of their bed, according to an affidavit. The husband waited a few moments to clear the air before getting back again. And here's my favorite sentence of the whole article. After another butt trumpet.
I'm sorry, what?
After another butt trumpet, the man said his wife started elbowing and kicking him again. After a scuffle, Don Meckley told police she ran to the bathroom to call 911. After that, she discharged a canister of pepper spray in the bedroom.
Okay, that's a bit much.
She, it's assault and pepper spray. She was charged with misdemeanor domestic battery and was taken to St. Lucie County Jail. I mean, so Dutch oven bad, pepper spray too much.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say so, yeah. But butt trumpet has been added to Coachella, so I would not miss them.
And finally, and this one is such a Florida story, too. It's from Barefoot Bay. Police in Florida now know what happened to a burglar who managed to escape from officers recently. He was 22 years old, Matthew Riggins. He was committing burglaries late in December in the Barefoot Bay community. He was spotted, but deputies took chase and were not able to find him. He got away. They found 10 days later his body floating in a lake. He was eaten by an alligator. He apparently went into the water to hide from the police who were chasing him through the neighborhood where he had been burglarizing homes.
Right.
And who knew there was an alligator in that water?
Is it Florida?
Well, it is Florida. That's a good point. I'm sure he just thought, this is the perfect hideout. All I have to do is get into this water, and they're going to run right by me. They're not even going to see it. So they found his remains. They did a forensic examination on the alligator and found his, parts of his body inside the gator's stomach, and that's what happened to him. So that was not a good backup plan, but that is why we love What's Up with Florida.
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines now, 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Beans. What's good? What are we missing? What are we not talking about?
Yes, and if you live in Chino Hills and have a quarter of or a third of $1.5 billion, we especially want to hear from you. But anybody
else, you're in the parking lot at that 7-Eleven.
Chino Hills.
We want to talk to you as well.
You can call us on any topic if you've got a question about it. You want to talk about something that's going on in the news, something funny that happened, a comment, anything on your mind. You be part of the show right now. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next as Kevin Beans, What's Good is up. All right, we've been very excited about this all weekend long. Friday morning on the Kevin and Beans Show, I brought you some tape about a remarkable man who lives in the Chicago area named Jamie Keaton. He's Canhead. I gave you guys the opportunity to guess why he could possibly be named Canhead, and there's no way any of you thought of or would have thought of what's going on with Jamie, which is that he can take cans or really almost anything and just stick it on his body, and it just stays there like he's Velcro. It's a skin condition, or it has something to do with the temperature of his skin or something, but he's been doing it for years and years and years and has turned it into a way to make a living. Here's a little bit of the tape from the CNN report that we played for you on Friday.
He has now parlayed this very unusual ability into a bit of worldwide fame. Just last week in China, he set a record for being the greatest can head of all time, and he will soon be in the Guinness Book of World Records. He and his suction cup head have met the famous, and suddenly the money is rolling in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest can head of all time. And the only one in America that we are aware of. Mr. Jamie Keaton joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Jamie, how are you, sir?
We're good. How are you guys?
Very good. Please tell me about that competition in China. Were there other can heads?
Much of a competition.
What's that?
No, I'm the only one.
You're the only one.
Much of a correct.
Now, Jamie, the piece that we saw from CNN, and I know you've been interviewed by multiple outlets over the years, said that there are only known to be three people in the world with your condition. Is that still accurate? There's you, and then there's two guys in India, right?
There's three.
Three.
There's two in India and one in South America.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. And have you been to a bunch of doctors where they've tried to figure out what makes you so sticky?
I've been to about three,
right.
But a lot of them want to do, I wouldn't say experiments, but they want to cut me, and I was like, nah, that's all right.
Hey, I saw the X-Files last night, man. You do not want them cutting you. All right,
nope,
Beans used the word. Beans used a word, and I just want to clarify here. He used the word sticky. Now, your skin's not sticky, is it?
It's more
suction-y. What happens is that my skin pores suck in the oxygen. And because of that, generates body heat. So my body temperature stays around 100 degrees.
Okay.
So it just makes things stick to me, suck to me.
And what kinds of things, for folks who maybe weren't with us on Friday, we talked about some of them, but expand the list of things that you can stick to your body, and if there's anything that won't stick to you, Jamie.
Anything that's porous or clothing and stuff like that will not stick to me.
Okay. Oh, thank God, right? Because you'd never be able to get undressed.
Correct.
You'd have like 34 years of clothes on. But, All right. So anything that's porous doesn't stick to you. So you could almost take anything out of your refrigerator, for instance, all of those items, if it's a gallon of milk or a stick of butter or a soft drink or anything like that, all that stuff would stick.
Well, I've stuck a gallon of water to my stomach or to my back. But most of the time I have women coming up and how to do that, and then they'll start pouring out their purses, just sticking stuff to me, and I'm like, Luke.
Right. Wow. And have you been able to cash in?
Oh, yeah. I get so much money. It depends on if I'm advertising or if I'm just going somewhere. Because advertisement, like at NASCAR events, I get anywhere from $1,000 a day to almost $8,000 a weekend or more.
Wow. And what do they have you do? Like, do you walk up and down the stands with products on your head?
That's all I got to do is walk around. And what it is that I put their name of their company on my cans and on the shirts. Uh-huh. So every picture taken has their product in it. So, like at NASCAR events, on Sunday alone, I average 80,000 pictures a day.
Oh my God.
So people see you and they go, what the hell? I want a selfie. And then that's how you advertise.
That's your advertising, yeah. And all those people who get a picture with Canhead put it up on social media, and whatever product you're wearing that day gets all those views. That's brilliant.
All right, Jamie, I have a personal question for you.
Oh, God.
When you're getting together with, say, another person, is that a problem?
Yes, I can get stuck.
Is that
really?
True?
Really? I can get stuck. Yeah,
Tell me all about it.
Multiple times.
You could get stuck.
I actually got a shirt that says my lawyer made me put the warning label on it, and it says, warning, may cause multiple orgasms due to my suction problem.
Oh, my God. Wow. I got that same shirt.
So you bought one. You're one of the ones that bought my shirt.
Yep. Let's keep it above the waist for now. Oh, okay. So kissing, for instance, there's a suction problem with kissing sometimes even?
Yeah, I actually have to wet my lips before I kiss somebody because I can actually get stuck.
How about that? Allie, is that a turn-on or a deal-breaker for you when you're talking to Jamie?
Well, I would think it would affect me more because trying to get the suction off, like that kind of thing, that would hurt my lips.
All right, how hard is it to separate things from your skin?
He has to, like, twist it and pull it off.
Not always. I mean, as long as it gets, like, if I'm sweating, it'll close my pores.
Well, I don't want that. If, like, I'm making out with you and you have to sweat in order for me to be released.
No.
Release me, Jamie.
I lick my lips before I kiss somebody because then it keeps it moist, or I'll put, like, chapstick on.
I see.
Okay.
Do you give them a warning up front? I know you said you had the T-shirt thing, but, I mean, do you literally have to tell them this is a thing and then they laugh at you because – what's that?
If it gets to that point, yes.
Wow. I mean, I think that would be the right thing to do. We're talking to Jamie Keaton, by the way. He is Canhead. You can follow him on Twitter at Canhead69. His website is Can. That's a perfectly reasonable Twitter handle. I don't know what you're laughing about. His website is canheadstuff.com. Jamie, are you glad that you have this ability? I mean, is it fun for you? Do you enjoy it? I guess it's the type of thing that you don't have to do if you don't feel like it. But is it a lot of fun for you to be Canhead?
Oh, it is. It's a lot of fun. But when I was younger, it wasn't. I was more nervous that people would think I was a freak. So until I got older, now it's enjoyable. I'll go to bars with my friends, and I'm like the ultimate wingman because women surround me and people buy me drinks, and I really don't drink that much, so I give them all to my friends.
Sure.
Plus, you never have to be at a table because you could just stick your drinks to your head.
Your friends could stick their drinks there. You could be like a drink holder. You've got it made.
Well, most of the time, I actually put full bottles of like alcohol, like Absolut on the back of my head and pour shots off the back of my head.
Oh, that's amazing.
I want to hang out with you so much, Jamie.
We got to hire him for the next singles party.
Yes.
I want to
That's what
you.
We got to do.
Let's hire Jamie to come out for the next singles party.
I like it.
He'll come. He said he would go. That would be so fun. He said he would go. All right. Canhead, last question for me, and this is, again, a follow-up to the CNN piece we saw, is were you just joking, or do you put the cell phone on your cheek and that's your hands-free driving when you want to talk on the phone when you're behind the wheel?
Actually, I'm doing it right now.
Really? The phone is stuck to your face right now as you're talking to Kevin and Bean?
Yes, I am.
You're the greatest American that has ever lived.
USA! USA! USA!
I say dump Trump Canhead 2016. That's
agreed.
What I say.
Love it.
All right, Jamie, you're a great American, and we're serious about a party. If we get one going this year, we're definitely going to get in touch and see what your schedule is. But it's really been fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on today, okay?
I'm actually supposed to be coming out to L.A. soon. And
all right.
If you guys bring ahead the time.
Yeah.
Please let us know when you're coming. Hey, by the way, one last question. Can people throw stuff at you and it sticks?
No, it doesn't.
He's not
work
Velcro,
like that.
Man.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I got a
dartboard, Kevin.
I'm just saying. I got a beer in my hand, and he walks by. I'm just going to toss it at his head. Will it stick?
We were
just up, Pete. I'm not asking you. I'm asking Canhead, the greatest American that ever lived.
Oh, thank you.
Would it stick or no?
A lot of times, yes.
Yeah.
Oh God.
No, I don't want. Now I don't want to.
Yeah.
All right, Jamie. Great stuff. Right. We'll talk again soon, sir. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
You're a great American.
Thank
okay.
You.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Have a good day. Not hanging up on him. He's my hero. Look, Kevin gets made fun of a lot on this show, and he takes it like a champ. He's got a really good attitude.
Well, what choice does he have?
I earn it.
A new line of work? He's got two choices. New line of work or just take it.
You either laugh or you cry, I guess, when it gets to that point, Kevin. But you must love this segment because it's not about you. It's about the rest of us. When you ask us, would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me if you could take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me if you could take that back?
So we say it on the radio, and of course in the heat of conversation in a 5-hour daily radio show, sometimes we say things that don't come out exactly the way we hoped or aren't well received. So this is an opportunity for us to have a second chance at that, to hear it back and then go, well, upon reflection, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that, and take it back or stand up for it and say, I support what I said.
I'm not exactly sure then how to do the Ralph Bean joint, which is the first one.
Huh.
Well, they both are in on it. I was complaining about not wanting to see Love and Mercy. My wife took me to it with some friends, and I ended up loving it. And then Ralph was doing this.
It was pretty good. I actually enjoyed it.
So what, you'd think after the 40th, 50th time that happens, you would stop resisting going to see a small little feature film that you wouldn't ordinarily go to.
Would you say you had fun?
Oh, man. Getting no good vibrations from that joke at all. That's all I know.
Would you like to take that back?
All right, so I guess we start with Bean.
First of all, we should mention, Kevin, Love and Mercy is the story of Brian Wilson, the leader of the Beach Boys.
Who gives a crap?
I'm talking about...
it's germane to the jokes that we made.
To the jokes, because you didn't set up what the movie was about. That's why we were making song title jokes. No, I'm perfectly fine with fun, and I'm going to be very disappointed if Ralph walks back in good vibrations as well. I thought that was very legitimate.
No, I'm completely happy with good vibrations.
Right. No one's
no
taking it back.
With either one of them.
No, not at all.
All right, number two is a Bean and Ralph joint.
Oh, come on.
Ralph is talking about the fact that George Michael had to check into rehab.
George has not made an official statement about this, but those close to him say he is in rehab and in dire need of it, so they're applauding his move. They say, will it work this time, rehab? Well, you got to have faith, I guess. So we'll just wait and see.
Does he have a father figure that's helping him through this, Ralph? Does the article say? Or
rehab's hard because he's just a sleeping in.
Oh,
but
geez, here.
He had to leave word for them to wake him up before.
How are you going to finish this?
Before he go-goes.
Would you like to take that back?
I guess we got to start with Bean.
Love it. Couldn't love it anymore. Would do it again if I had the opportunity.
Back to Ralph.
Faith I'll keep.
Okay.
Wake me up before I go-go. I may have overreached.
You going to throw that one back in the pod?
I may like that one stricken from the record.
The next one is Allie. Ralph was talking about J-Lo selling her house to Phil Collins for, I don't know, $1 billion or something. Ralph was explaining the house.
12,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 8 full bathrooms, 3 half bathrooms, a view of the Miami skyline, interior courtyard, koi pond, cabana, outdoor kitchen, boat dock.
The closet alone in the master suite measures roughly 1,000 square feet of space.
The closet?
The closet. The walk-in closet has 1,000 square feet of space.
No Stu studio?
ow!
No?
Would you like to take that back?
Allie?
See, because it's Phil Collins' house, you guys.
That's so awesome. Hell no.
I think I'm with you on that.
That's pretty awesome.
I think I'm with you on that. Right. Worked it right in. This one I'm not even going to give Bean a chance to take back because the
what?
Because the listener slaps him down.
Let's try to get a couple more into the drawing. How about Jose from Buena Park? He's our next contestant.
Jose?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Can you see?
Yes, just barely. You know, it's the first time I've heard that.
I bet it is.
Would you like to take that back? So we're just assuming yes on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to take that back. Look, I hate that. I hate what people go through who have that kind of name where people will always make some stupid joke when they meet
it. But it doesn't stop you from making that joke.
I was that guy, and I accept your score. Yes, I take it back.
This one is Allie.
Yeah.
Ralph is talking about Ariana Grande and the donut licking thing.
I barely knew who you were until you started licking donuts. No one's paying attention to you. This may have all been a part of a grand scheme.
Wow.
Grande scheme. Sorry. Wow. I'm going to go.
Would you like to take that back?
You, in fact, did not go.
Nope.
You're still here.
Would you like to take that back?
Listen, was it great? No.
That's not debating. We're not debating that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that back.
Yay!
There you go. Good. All right. Now, Ralph is talking about the Rivers Cuomo TV show.
Yeah.
That Fox was going to put on, and then I guess they did the show, and Fox turned it down.
They did a pilot, mm-hmm. but Fox decided not to go forward with the series. Yeah.
And Beam was talking about that.
People would never stop being amazed that you were in their chem class.
Right.
Yeah, there has been no official statement from the brass over there at Fox, but I would look. I'm really interested to know what does the Fox say.
Put it in the file.
What does the Fox say? Would you like to take that back?
Hell no!
No.
What about on the delivery?
No, the
delivery.
I stumbled a bit.
All right.
It sounded like you did not have confidence in your material.
I think I stuck the landing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was a little shaky on the vault, on the pommel horse, but I think I stuck the landing, so I'm going to go with it.
All right, we have one left, and it's Bean. And Ralph, set up Mr. Scaramanga.
Scaramanga.
Thank you.
Scaramanga is the villain from the James Bond movie, The Man with the Golden Gun. Christopher Lee played him. He's an assassin who kills with a golden gun, as you can imagine, and has three nipples.
All right. Yeah. And we were talking about that.
And he goes through, like, airports and stuff, be like, right this way, Mr. Scaramanga. And then he would just assemble his golden gun and kill you with one golden bullet.
Did Mr. Scaramanga do the Fandango?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Is that in a gentle connection to Scaramouche? Did you do the Fandango?
No.
From Bohemian Rhapsody? Is that just the most just vague sort of connection? Is that where that came from?
It was meant to be, yes.
Because they both have Scara at the beginning of their names? You're a bad, bad man.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh, man, I'm right on the fence.
You're on the fence?
On the fence.
Wow.
You're on the fence
on
that one?
Wow.
I kind
you
of
should
like
be impaled on the fence. You should fall on a wrought iron fence out of a window.
But I can also argue against it as well. I am going to say, in the interest of keeping the union together, I will take that back, yes.
Thank God.
Wow.
Thank God.
How could you even hesitate?
And by the way, we have a whole nother file that I didn't have time to play right now, so we'll have to do that another time.
So you're saying we're good?
I'm saying we're really good and things are going well.
Hey, don't forget, we still want you to go to the party Saturday night ahead of the Grammys. It's the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Death Cab for Cutie at the Grammy Museum at LA Life. Have any of you guys ever been to that?
I have been there, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it awesome? I hear it's awesome.
Muse played there just before the Grammys a couple of years ago, I think.
And they have all sorts of cool displays and spotlights on various
cool.
artists
yeah.
and whatnot.
Yeah, it's
amazing. I definitely want to do that one time when I'm in town.
Maybe anyway, it's 200 seats, maybe. It's really small,
oh, yeah.
So it's a great place to see somebody.
That is going to be a lot of fun for Death Cab fans. Your chance to win is coming up. We got it for you next hour, I think. And then again at 9 o'clock this morning, you can get all the details at krock.com. It is Thursday morning. It is time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Kevin's going to deny this happens, but I do hear from a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners who are fans of this feature.
Right.
Enjoy the deaf.
Yeah.
And what's going on with those people? What do you think's happening with the people who
love
the deaf
corner? They're damaged.
Really?
Yes.
That's the only possibility?
Bean loves death. And a lot of people come up to us and say, hey, you know, I didn't think that was real. I didn't think this was real. This is real.
Yeah.
Bean loves death.
I'm fascinated with the way some people die because no one wakes up in the morning expecting that today's the day. And I'm just always surprised, you know, by the various ways that people can go. Like Andre Morena, for instance, in Mexico City, he was briefly famous last year as he was declared the fattest man in the world. Now, who could have ever seen that he would have an untimely demise? He was 977 pounds last year, by the way. But he did go into surgery. He went into one of those places that do the big gastric bypasses.
Right.
And he lost 132 pounds. So he was down to 710 pounds over Christmas, which had to be looking good, right?
Well, I mean, only compared to the 900 and however many, 77 pounds.
Mr. Moreno was 38 years old. He died of a heart attack recently, and the doctors said they believe it was caused by the fact that he drank too many energy drinks. He was drinking up to 6 cans of energy drinks per day. They said that it was the equivalent of 42 cans of Coca-Cola that he was drinking per day.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know what kind of energy drinks they have down there in Mexico, but that sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? I would imagine it would be tough with a guy who's over 700 pounds and at one point had been close to 1,000. It would be tough to pinpoint the specific cause of death.
Yeah, it wasn't just that.
But
it was also the fact that he weighed 1,000 pounds. That had something to do with it.
Why are you just a body shamer, Kevin? Why can't he just be comfortable in his own skin?
I'm fine shaming 1,000 pounds because that person is going to die.
Is that your cutoff point? Anyone under 1,000, you're willing to give them a pass, but once you get close to 1,000, you're out.
You have to be reasonable.
So anyway, yeah, so heart attack, and he died, and they're saying it was the energy drink. Here's a young woman in Marina, California. Where is that? Is that in Central California?
I don't know.
I've never heard of it.
I don't think it exists.
It's actually a very tragic, sad story how she died. She was a drug addict who, the day she was released from rehab, went into the parking lot in her Volkswagen Jetta, went into the parking lot of a Walmart store in Salinas, and overdosed. Okay, so she died. Now, that part of the story is very sad. What I found fascinating is she died November 13th. They just found her in her car this week. Sat in the parking lot of a Walmart in California for 3 months.
What?
How does nobody notice?
That isn't
possible. That's insane.
It happened. This is for reals. Now, there was an open missing person case, but what kind of a job were they doing if nobody in the course of 3 months noticed this car sitting in the parking lot and called it in or something?
Because all they would have had to do was
match the license plate and they would have found the woman.
Kevin rejects your story.
I don't think that she could be dead in the parking lot of a Walmart. They have people that go around and...
Yeah, the Walmart spokesperson said they do have personnel patrolling overnight. They also have 24-hour surveillance cameras, but nobody had noticed the car for 3 months. Yes. So I am with you, Kevin, that I have questions about how that happened, but it's still a bizarre story. All right. Speaking of bizarre, what if I were to tell you that there's a man in Death Corner today who was killed in a way that there is no record of anyone in the history of the world ever being killed by? How about this? A first-time cause of death. A man in India, a bus driver identified as V. Kamaraj, has died after suffering severe injuries by apparently being hit by a meteorite.
He got hit by a meteorite!
First person in recorded history to die in such a manner, according to NASA. There was a noise like a big explosion, said the principal of the college in the district. It was an abnormal sound that could be heard at least 2 miles away. Now, apparently, lots of people throughout history have been injured by meteorites. There was one that exploded over Russia in 2013 that just sprayed everywhere and injured 1,000 people.
Yeah, I don't want to know about those losers. I just want to know about the winner.
Yeah.
How about, you know, it's funny because when people talk about the long odds of winning the lottery, people will often say things like, yeah, you're more likely to get killed by a meteorite.
Yeah.
But it actually happened to this guy. What are the chances if you're the first person who's ever been killed in this particular way.
I mean, really?
The meteorite left a 4-foot deep crater and shattered windows of classrooms and nearby vehicles. The explosion also injured two gardeners and a student at the school, but the man was killed.
He must have just disintegrated, right?
I can't. Yeah. Pink mist. Boom.
I mean, I don't know how much of the rock hit him. It's possible it didn't do that much damage, but it's also possible that he took the brunt of it. And yeah, it would have been a very quick, very weird death. Here's one that made me think of Beer Mug, by the way. This is the Krispy Kreme Challenge that goes on every year in Raleigh, North Carolina. You guys familiar with this?
No.
It's an annual 5-mile race for charity, and I love the idea of this. This is where you run 2.5 miles,
right.
Then you eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, and then you run the last 2.5 miles.
Yummy.
And you get sponsors. It's called the Krispy Kreme Challenge. Tens of thousands of people every year sign up for this. It is the 12th year that they have done this, raising money for the University of North Carolina's Children's Hospital. And one of the runners in the Krispy Kreme Challenge died on the track. The sad news for him is he died in the first 2.5 miles.
Oh, he didn't get his donuts.
He didn't even get to the Krispy Kreme.
Yummy.
Like, you wouldn't think there could possibly be any more bad news than you died while running this charity race.
Geez.
But now it's even worse because you didn't even get to the Krispy Kreme donuts.
His eyes were locked on those donuts,
yeah,
man. It was just all he saw.
Eyes on the prize. Dead.
He didn't even
get it.
Who's with me? Let's get Muggs to run the rest of this race in his honor.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I saw something that somebody put together over the weekend that is a Donald Trump commercial, a fan-made Donald Trump commercial, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They might have, I don't know if they were mocking. You tell me. This commercial is called Donald Trump Wants to Know What the Hell Is Going On.
We have to figure out what's going on. There's something going on, and it's bad. There's a problem. There's something wrong. Something's going on. We've got to figure out what's going on.
Bomb, 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 bomb. We have to find out what's going on.
I called the mayor. I said, what's going on?
What's going on?
What is going on, Mika?
President Obama, where he refuses even to use the term of what's going on.
I said, what's going on?
We have to find out what is going on.
What the hell is going on? What's going on? That's a pretty good campaign ad for Donald Trump, because finally we have a guy who's willing to find out what's going on, okay? And then I thought, why would anyone have to make up a commercial for Donald Trump when he has the USA Freedom Kids that we talked about at the end of last week? They debuted them at a rally in Florida. I want to say in Pensacola, Florida. You've never seen anything that looks more like a North Korean rally.
Yeah.
These little girls singing these lyrics that they can't possibly understand, they might as well be singing about their dear leader. Could we hear a little bit of the Trump jam, please?
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA! Enemies of freedom.
This is a parody, though.
No! This is real.
This is a fan-made thing.
No!
What?
This is authorized by the candidate.
Face the music. Come on, boys. Take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Do it from strength or get crushed every time.
You laugh, but this is terrifying. It is... This terrifying!
And by that you mean awesome.
No!
Over here, USA! Over there, USA! Freedom and liberty everywhere.
Okay. Like 5 minutes if you need
it. I think that's enough.
God.
The important thing, you guys, is that President Donald Trump knows how to make America great, because he will deal from strength or get crushed every time. That's why we are going to elect him the next president of the United States, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right
now.
That is
the greatest song I have ever heard.
I thought you might like that, Mr. Trump.
Girls, the Nazi Youth for Freedom girls, they're amazing. They're talented, and they're right. They're not wrong. They don't. What's going on?
What is going on? But the lyrics, Mr. Trump, no offense, but cowardice, are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. That is just terrible songwriting, though.
Are you serious about cowardice? No.
It's terrible.
We're going to come from a place of strength. we're going to make America great again, because that's what I do.
Right.
Uh-huh. These little girls are out there in their red, white, and blue outfits. And by the way, Donald, if I can call you that, the crowd just ate it up. They are standing and hooting and hollering with their hands on their hearts.
Yes, they love it, and they love America. And I do, too. That's why we're going to be great again. Not for like people like you who don't want America to be great because you hate America, apparently, and patriotism.
No, not at all.
For those of us who still love our country, it's going to be a great thing because that's what it's going to be, a great thing, because I have all the greatest things.
Along with the best words, too.
And the best words.
Right. You don't have the best lyrics, though. That was kind of weak.
The lyrics are wonderful.
I got to be honest, that was kind
of
weak.
They're the greatest lyrics.
Okay.
Everyone loves them.
All right.
I've been looking at all the polls, and everyone loves the lyrics.
Okay.
We polled the lyrics?
I did.
Okay.
I polled people and said, what do you think about that song? And they said, the little girls are great. They're super, super talented.
Uh-huh.
And the lyrics are wonderful.
Wow.
Huh. And people love the song.
Right.
And we're going to do more of them because people love them.
You're going to make those girls do more songs?
I'm writing them right now.
Wait, you're writing them?
Yes, because I realized the first song is good. Don't get me wrong. It's good.
Okay.
But I know what I want to say better than anybody.
Right.
Sure.
So why don't I write the songs for the little freedom zombies to sing? And that way it'll be my words coming out of their tiny little white holes.
Okay. Ooh, wow. Okay. So what kind of songs are you writing? Something similar to this?
Yes,
kind of bouncing?
American songs.
Okay.
Songs for America. Not songs you would like, probably, because of communism. But songs that Americans will like because they're American songs.
Can we hear it?
They're patriotic, and the lyrics speak to the problems of the country.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just working on a couple ideas. Let me run them past you, see what you think.
Fantastic.
I'm sure you're going to love them because everybody loves them.
Right. Okay.
This country is for me, not those in poverty. Show me the bling. That's right. People love bling.
I don't
rich
think...
people. I'm very, very rich.
You're rich,
but
yes.
But
how can you run
no
on...
I have no idea how much money I have.
Right,
it's
oh, you do mention it.
It's an enormous amount
you
of money.
It, yeah. But you can't run on telling poor people they're bad and rich people need to show you the bling. That can't be your campaign.
Nobody wants to be poor. Everybody wants to be rich.
Okay.
Good
all right.
point.
That is the truth.
Okay.
Listen to the woman. Sometimes they say good things. Sometimes women open their mouths and good things come out.
Oh, but not often, though,
not
right?
Not often, but it happens.
Okay.
Oh, for the love.
Here's another one of my brand new campaign songs I'm working on, and I think it's terrific. God bless America. Land that I love. And I mean my God, not the Muslim God.
Oh.
Or the Indian one that has all those different arms. Not the good God, not the bad God.
Mr. Trump, you're not going to be singing these songs yourself, though, right? You're going to hand
Maybe
that
I
off.
Will. Maybe
okay.
I will. Because right. people love me. They love when I talk. Why right. wouldn't they love me when I sing? I'll
okay.
let the little freedom broads back me up on that.
Freedom
okay.
broads?
Here's
all
another
right.
one I think will work.
Okay. No, more.
Oh, say, can you see why the Muslims are bad? And we should keep them out of our country until we can figure out this whole ISIS thing. What's going on with ISIS? We need to figure it out. What's going on there?
Okay, but you know that lots of Muslims are Americans, right? You know that. Guys, New York City, in the 1970s, the epicenter of the music industry with punk rock and then disco and then the rise of hip-hop. What a fascinating era for music fans to see a movie about. And this time it's a 10-episode TV series on HBO debuting this Sunday night. It is called Vinyl. Here's a little bit of what we'll be getting.
I started this company from nothing.
Right, and now we're selling it.
I'm talking about our dreams, man. You don't understand.
Okay, here's what I do understand, Richard. You're high.
Yeah, well, so what? It's a privilege to do this job, to introduce the world to new music, to shape the culture.
Richie, we're going to be bankrupt in a month.
Our future, everything, it's all riding on this company.
I promise I'm going to bring us back.
Let's show people how rock and roll is supposed to make you feel.
Right? Right?
Can't
produced
wait.
By Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese, directed by Martin Scorsese this Sunday night, starring the great Bobby Cannavale, Olivia Wilde. We couldn't get any of those people, but we are delighted to welcome Ray Romano back to the Cabin of Beach Show, who also co-stars in Vinyl. Hey, Ray.
That was a nice backhanded intro. All right.
That's Bean's specialty.
Like we do. So, Ray, you've done lots of things. You've been acting for a long time. This has to be, this has to just still be a dream come true, even for a guy who's been making a living as an actor for as long as you have. You get to work with these people on a show like this. Just must be awesome.
You know what? You couldn't be more right, even though you insulted me. I have to give you that. No, it's true. It's true. We filmed 10 episodes, and there were so many times where I would just look at a scene that I, even if I wasn't in it, I'd go, this is too cool for me. How am I in this show? It's just surreal. You know, the Scorsese's directing, Mick Jagger, I'm having a threesome. It's unbelievable.
What? All right, let's talk about that. How prepared should we be to go blind on that episode night when we see you in a threesome? How much naked Ray Romano is going to be on my TV set?
It's like a car accident. You know what it is. It's like people who don't like watching violence on TV, so you hold your hand up kind of, you know, in front of your eyes. But it's fast. It's very fast.
And by fast, you mean like a second and a half or less?
It's like it would be in real life. It would be. It's over before you know it. It's in the background, and it's quick. I mean, my wife. You know, as quick as it is, somehow I have to distract my wife when that scene comes on. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You have to set
the house on fire. That's the only thing.
Yeah. But it's over quick. And by the way, not as glamorous and not as, you know, I read the script and I'm like, so stressful. Can't even tell you how stressful it was.
Oh, sure.
It's my first time doing on Everybody Loves Raymond. We had sex. A sex scene is like you get in bed and you hear a slide whistle. Yeah, but this is HBO.
We saw you making out with Lauren Graham a little bit on Parenthood, too. You got your feet wet, at least, on that show.
Yeah, I got my feet wet. Now I'm jumping in.
All right, exactly.
But let me tell you something. Even with that, it's even making out, it's stressful for an actor. You don't want to, you know, you got to keep telling yourself, it's fake. Listen, we're simulating sex. It's not real, but... my crotch doesn't know that. He doesn't know that.
Ray, let's talk a little bit about Martin Scorsese, a guy who is a legend to all of us. How long does it take for you to forget, oh my God, that's the guy that made Raging Bull, and just look at him as, all right, he's my director and we're just working together and we're colleagues and it's cool?
Yeah, well, it helped that he is so... has the energy of like a kid. He's so excited. He so loves it. So he's just enthusiastic, you know. And yes, I'm nervous to talk to anyone who's a genius like that. You know, anyone who's smart, I don't want to talk to because I'm dumb, you know.
Same.
And yes, but someone else said it, that the best acting we did was pretending to know what he was talking about and all the references he made. Because anything you said, he related to a movie. I would talk about, you know, he would talk about Sicily, and I said, oh, I went to Sicily with my wife, and in the morning, the watermelon man came by. You heard him. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's like a divorce Italian style, 1953. Yeah, he would mention a movie, and then... the next morning in your dressing room, the DVD of that movie would be waiting for me there. And that happened three times. And then I'd see him again. I go, hey, thanks for those DVDs. He goes, oh, yeah, sure. Did you watch them? And I realized I got to watch all these movies before so we can talk about them. But that's how he was. He was so enthusiastic. And he let us do our thing. He let us improvise. After a while... It was intimidating, but after a while, it was fun. It was just fun being around him, you know?
Now, you play a record promotion guy, and that could not be that does coke and is just out of your mind. Coke. That could not be further from actual Ray Romano. And Martin Scorsese had never heard of you.
When I auditioned, we sent him a tape. I had to put myself on tape, and the feedback we got was he likes what he saw, and he's never heard of you before. And we like, well, he never saw the show. She goes, no, never heard of the show. Never heard. And it's funny because one of the producers says, "Well, he's never been on an airplane." but it ended up being a blessing. You know, he didn't have Ray Barone in his head. He could see me as this guy. So, you know, it worked out. It was kind of refreshing.
And you did actual cocaine for that tape, for that audition, right?
Actual cocaine and in the sex? No, of course not. We do milk, some milk powder that you, I don't know what, lactate powder, and they put like jelly in the, like a Vaseline in the pipe, so it gets, most of it gets stuck in the pipe, but it still gets up there in your nose, and then later on that night you're home eating a donut and it falls out.
But you're able to eat pizza with no problem.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Because it's lactate, and you can then digest the cheese. Oh, I see. Oh. All right. Wow. Sorry.
Allie, the interview killer.
He didn't like it after. I think he was laughing at the fact that you tried to make that work. I think.
We were all having a nice conversation until the girls piped in.
All right. Wait.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We are almost out of time here. Did you meet Mick Jagger at all?
I met him for like 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
He was at a table read, and after the table read, everybody went over there, and I shook his hand, but, you know, people were pulling him in all different directions. But, you know, how many people have met him for 5 seconds?
Yeah, right, exactly. It's cool.
Yeah.
10 episodes, and is this going to be an ongoing thing, or is this like a one-time 10-episode miniseries, or might there be a second season? Do we know?
No, it's a series. Yeah, it's a series.
Oh, great.
It's supposed to get renewed, and hopefully we start again in May. And, you know, I'm not pitching for more threesomes because my wife is not, you know, my wife keeps telling me, we don't need the money.
Well, it looks amazing. We can't wait to see it this Sunday night at 9 on HBO. It is the premiere of Vinyl. We're so excited, Ray. We're so happy to see that you were in it. And thank you for sharing a little bit of your memories of it, man. We appreciate you coming.
Wow. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'll be on. We'll talk about it once we see it. After episode 7, we'll talk again.
I'm not sure we will, but we'll talk about that.
Please. All right, guys.
Thank you, Ray. Bye now.